But they have so many other great Sebadeh products. They've got tinctures to help you sleep. They've got tinctures to help you relax. They've got gummies to help you focus or calm yourself, or some with a little bit of THC as well. That obviously a little
we
more
enjoy,
fun.
Yes. Yeah.
They've got lotions and salves, and they've got all sorts of smokables. Great Sebadeh products, all third-party tested, none with use of pesticides. They use integrated pest management. They have great farming practices, regenerative farming that they work with the University of Vermont to implement. They have great movement politics. They have done things like mutual aid up in Vermont in the wake of the floods. They've donated tens of thousands of dollars to things like carceral reform and Planned Parenthood and strike relief funds, refugee resettlement, on and on. Just an all-around great company. Check them out. 20% off with the code LEFTISBEST at SunsetLakeSebadeh.com. Okay, now time for the show.
The Majority Report with Sam.
The destiny of America is always safer in the hands of the people than in the conference rooms of any elite.
Sam Cedar.
They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
If I get the feeling you've been cheated...
It is Tuesday, September 2nd, 2025. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, federal judge on Friday rules many of Trump's tariffs illegal, pushed off until October 14th for a possible appeal. This says the $800 de minimis exemptions expired on Friday. Meanwhile, another federal judge rules that Trump's use of the military in L.A. was a violation of federal law. In D.C., the House is back from recess. Ready's action on Epstein files. This as a government shutdown looms. And speaking of the House, Gerald Nadler, sort of a progressive within the periphery of Democratic leadership in the House, announces that he will retire at the end of his term.
Good job.
And speaking of retirement, Joni Ernst also set to announce her retirement during this week.
Sucks to suck.
She also plans to eventually die. International Association of Genocide Scholars declares Israel's assault on Gaza, quote, meets, quote, the legal definition of genocide. Trump to provide proof of barely life today in an anticipated announcement of the Defense Department becoming the War Department. Another federal judge halts Trump's fast-track deportations, and another federal judge stops the deportation of 800 Guatemalan children. Labor Day features anti-Trump protests across the country. This as a half a million federal workers have been stripped of their union rights in August alone. And U.S. regulators cancel bank exams as part of a Republican regulation rollback. Abundance of an opportunity for a new financial crisis. And as the Trump regime queues up invasion of Chicago, new report shows highest violent crime rates are in rural parts of red states. All this and more on today's Majority Report. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
It is Newsday Tuesday.
Newsday Tuesday.
Welcome back, Sam.
Thank you for noticing.
Yes.
I was actually gone for the past week and a half.
People are saying this is proof of life.
Yep.
Yeah.
People weren't sure. There was like bruises all over my hands.
Yeah, you were wearing a big baseball cap with your mouth like.
People see me after the show and I walk around with my mouth agape.
There's diaper debates.
Exactly.
Make sure you're charging the cattle prod, Brian.
Well, I could settle the diaper debates. Those are still happening. But everything else was a lie. I am still here. I also want to make it clear, wasn't anywhere near Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't involved in any of that.
No laser gun for Havana Syndrome or anything like that?
I have longtime listeners of this program will know that very often when I go on vacation, like right-wing figures die.
Then or like October 7th happens, for example.
Yeah. I wasn't on vacation. That was in Vegas.
Right. Sorry. So you couldn't have.
But Limbaugh being maybe the most famous one.
Limbaugh. I think Breitbart kicked when I was gone, too. I mean, what are you going to do?
Kissinger died when you were out.
Kissinger, yep.
Maybe you should just retire.
I mean.
It might save the country.
Dobson, I think Dobson died when he couldn't, when I was, or did Dobson die when I was, that's maybe who it was. You know who Dobson was? The focus of the family?
Were you on vacation? What are you saying?
I think I was on vacation when he died. I think he died last week. Yeah, James Dobson. I don't know. Anyways, but we'll see if Trump doesn't show up today or if they bring out a body double. We'll see.
I mean, it would be fascinating if he's struggling with his speech in some way, because I don't know. I mean, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but he's been out of like the public eye and off camera for a week. When is the last time that happened?
I'd also just say it'd be the second issue they've really hoisted themselves on their own petard, first being the Epstein files, saying like, we're going to expose all that, and they get, we're really implicated. If they go after saying, how could you... When did you know Biden's decline was what it was? And then now they're trying to weaken at Bernie's him already.
Remember the auto pen? Trump has the auto Sharpie.
Yeah, we'll see. And I suspect he'll be out there with a very brief announcement that it's going to be.
God did that.
That it is now going to be the Department of War.
Yeah, war is not an easy word to say with a droopy lip. I'll just say
Listen, I am sympathetic. I'm getting up there in age myself. And, there's some, like, rumors that he's had, like, a series of small...
strokes.
Yes, thank you. I just had...
as Sam's mid-one.
Exactly. but we'll see. We shall see. Trump will be making that announcement supposedly at 2 p.m. today. So maybe we'll cover it live if it actually happens.
Yes.
A lot of news happened while I was out. And I will be honest, I did a fairly good job of keeping things at like 3/4 arm's length.
Sorry for texting you all that stuff.
So, you know, in the fun half, we'll talk about some of the stuff that I missed. But one of the things that I missed that I regret, and we're going to have him back on, because this guy is great. There was a speech yesterday in Portland, Maine, as part of the Fight Oligarchy Tour. Let's play number 10, just to give you a sense of the size of this rally. Brian knows this facility well, right? What is it? Yeah,
this is, it used to be called the Cumberland County Civic Center. Now it's got some corporate name right in downtown.
Because Cumberland County Civic Center is so, sexy.
It's so iconic. You know, everybody, yeah. It's like the garden.
You going to Cumbie's? Is that what they say? Are you going to Cumbie's?
Cumbie's is a corner store in Maine.
No, I know.
Cumberland Farms.
Yeah. Oh, okay. In Massachusetts, they say you're going to Cumbie's.
All right.
Shut up, you too much.
But take a look at the size of this. This is I mean, this is a lot of people to be in a political rally, right? I mean, come. This is like the biggest facility in Maine.
Yes, largest arena.
Go ahead.
Packed, dude.
For so, a primary challenge, and the primary isn't for another 9 months.
And, well, I mean, it's also, this is part of the Fight Oligarchy Tour.
Right.
And, but Graham Platter, I would imagine this is the biggest audience he's probably addressed. I don't think I've ever even addressed an audience this. I did one really bad stand-up thing at Syracuse University with Janine one time. That's another story. He killed it. This is really important stuff too, because with Mills announcing that she was going to wait until November to make her decision about running, what she's looking for is she going to have a clear field in the primary? And my sense is, if she's not going to have a clear field, she doesn't want to deal with it.
She's going to be 78 at the end of the year. She would battle end tested. Her term at
78
85.
Years young.
78 battle-tested years.
Yeah.
And so the more momentum Platner gets from things like this, the less a chance of her or jumping into the race. And then, the Democratic establishment to stop him if that's what they want to do. And I'm sure their inclination is now to do that. I don't know what that inclination will be in 3 or 4 months. We'll have to rely on like one of those mothership guys or something, supposedly that's floating around. We spoke, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, about the mothership being basically some sort of a scam pack type of situation. But here is Platner. And on top of the fact that it seems like the folks in this arena, again, a year and a half out, we're in August when this speech, and or September 1st, whatever, a year and a half out from the general election, like at least a half a year out from the primary. I mean, this is, I don't ever remember seeing anything like this.
And the biggest applause line here also gives an indication of what this energy
means.
Well,
that's another story. Watch, we'll get to that in a second. Watch this.
Everyone in Maine knows in their bones that the system is screwing us. And we know it because we can see it. We watch from the sidelines of struggle as incomprehensible amounts of wealth and power are consolidated by very few. We are all looking in that, and we all wonder, why cannot we all share in that success? Our taxpayer dollars can build schools and hospitals in America, not bombs to destroy them in Gaza. We can take back the wealth that belongs to us, that has been stolen by corrupt politicians and the corporations that bought them. We can use government to usher in a golden age for unions and workers, not double down on gig work and union busting for the benefit of Wall Street and CEOs. And we can have an economy and a government that works for the 99% and not just for the 1%.
Folks seem to appreciate what he had to say there.
About Gaza, too. Well, I mean, that's the biggest line.
That is what I think is fascinating about that line. I mean, it was the reaction was huge. And obviously, the idea that we should be doing more with our tax dollars and we shouldn't be funding a genocide. This issue, and I think what happened with Richie Torres while I was gone on the Adam Friedland show, and maybe we'll have him on later this week, not Torres. I don't think he'll come on.
You don't think he'd agree?
I sent an invite.
Yeah.
But during the 2024 election, Israel and Gaza was a wedge issue that cut against or cut in favor of Donald Trump, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we're starting to see with that reaction is an example, the fact that Richie Torres did not understand. I mean, this is a moment where the ground is moving underneath the feet of Democratic politicians. And that Torres interview was an example of them not realizing it and waking up. And some are going to wake up and fall flat on their face like Torres did. There was that, I think he's a Kentucky lawmaker or... a Democratic congressman who announced some backbencher. I hadn't quite heard of him.
I saw in North Carolina, it was a woman who was a moderate who said she's not taking AIPAC money.
There was another guy in, I think, in Kentucky who said the same thing this past week. There are some who realize the terrain has shifted underneath their feet and they're moving towards it. There are others like Torres who get flat-footed and end up on their face. And then there are going to be some who I think are going to get elected because they are coming out so forcefully for this and forefronting it, or at the very least, not shying away and being full-throated about it.
And Zoran staffers are working on Graham's campaign, right? At least one. So you can see, I think Zoran's answer about the one Democratic state was the blueprint for Democrats going forward. And he'll give that answer and you'll hear mainstream Democrats say like, oh, he's not representative of the party. It's just commie New York City. But they never talk about how like both the House Democratic leader and Senate Democratic leader are from New York State. You're not going to like analyze that at all. But whatever. This is the, I think, blueprint for how to run on this kind of issue more broadly, because when you just basically make this case, we're saying, why are your taxpayer dollars going to bombing schools? Let's build schools at home. It's a very simple message that cuts across not just the Democratic base, but with independents as well. And so I think that's the blueprint going forward for there's going to be more and more of these kinds of candidates.
And now is a good time to go and show your support for Plattner.
Yep.
This is the time where if there is an opportunity to give him at least a, you know, breathing room in this primary, now is a great time to go and show support.
He benefits a lot from a head start and crowding out the rest of the field. I mean, what's been so encouraging is that he's not even talking about the other Democrats in the race. From what I've seen so far, for the most, and there are a few, they're just very lower name recognition, and Janet Mills is the highest name recognition who could jump in. But he's basically already running against Susan Collins. And I think that's another lesson just rhetorically for progressives candidates who are running without the advantage of corporate money, is that if you just kind of act like you can win and that there's an inevitability to it, it draws people in. Because for so long, I don't think that the obstacle to getting the Democratic base to support left-wing ideas is as ideological as is portrayed by the consultant class. A lot of folks just want to bet on a winner, and people felt, because the party told them effective, and they were effective with this propaganda, that Bernie could never beat Trump, or left-wing candidates could never beat Trump or Republicans, and you can't imagine more. Plattner creating this sense that, like, this is already a race between him and Collins allows people to imagine for more.
Yep.
Although maybe that's too much of a story being told for the abundance guys.
I will also say I was very bummed to miss his appearance on the program.
He was bummed to miss you as well.
So we're going to have him back on and soon. I would say even maybe before Mills makes her decision, you know, November. We got a little time.
He had the Maine Nurses United in the background and the international, the IAM union, which I believe the International Association of International Association of Machinists. It's over. Don't enter the race. We got our candidate.
It is very encouraging that Mills is waiting until November, because if you're definitely going to run, you don't do that. And if you, if you're desperate to win, she wants to see that there's going to be no big hurdle for her. And as you start to see, like, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Like, I know these two things seem completely unrelated, but Andrew Cuomo, he goes down in New York City, former governor of New York State, can't win in the biggest city in his state. That's a sign. Even like with the idea of Nadler retiring, it starts to create a sense of like of where the momentum is and what makes, just generally what makes sense. All of these things will influence that decision. But exciting to see Plattner already out there, thousands of people in Maine going and hearing him speak and giving him standing ovations. Really impressive stuff. And Brian's just beaming.
I'm fired up. I was going to go, but I didn't want to get back at 4 a.m. to New York.
We don't have high-speed rail to get you there, unfortunately.
And maybe you know Plattner. All the ways to get into Cumbies, like in the back doors, right, at Cumbies?
I've mostly bought things in the parking lots of Cumbies, not really inside them.
All right, we've got a lot more to talk about. Got a couple of words from our sponsors. Delete Me is a product that I've been using for 10 years because... basically because I do the show, and that was the first impetus for me to do it, was that I want to be able to limit my public information as much as possible.
I was using Delete Me before I even started here too. It was recommended to me by people at my old gig.
It's data brokers compile your information and they sell it. Whatever these sites are, they sell your information to the general public. Or to scammers. It doesn't matter. They don't know who they're selling it to. And what Delete Me does is it makes it quick and easy and safe to remove your personal data online. Like I say, your address, your phone, your family members, where you've lived. There's all sorts of information on these data broker sites. And of course, it has real world consequences for you, both if... You know, in this era where things are a little bit politically heated and they seem like they're going to get more so. But also, like I say, scammers and phishers and can find information on data broker sites, match it up with information they bought on the dark web. It threatens your identity being stolen. It threatens like you get targeted for phishing attacks, et cetera, et cetera. With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. New York Times Wirecutter named Delete Me their top pick for data removal services. I want to thank Delete Me for sponsoring the Majority Report. And, of course, like I say, thanks for the work they've been doing, just as I've been a customer. Although, you know, I pay them, so... But thank
but
you.
But you
anyways.
Get it. You get, yeah. But the I mean, service
gonna,
is
gonna,
the service
gonna,
is
I'm
good.
Not going to go overboard. I mean, but the thing that's great about Delete Me Too is they go in and they keep doing it. So they send you a yes. monthly digest of what they've removed because these data broker sites repopulate. Anyways, take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. Now at a special discount for our listeners, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/majority. Use the promo code majority at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/majority. Enter the code majority at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/majority. Code is majority. We'll, of course, put that in the podcast and YouTube links. This episode also sponsored by Liquid IV. This is one of the easier promos I do because every day I do this show, I have at least one bottle of Liquid IV that I drink during the course of the show, and it keeps me hydrated. Over my vacation, wasn't as hot as I had hoped it would be, but it was warm. I'm moving around. I got to drink my my Liquid IV. And the beauty is super easy to carry with you because it comes in little packets. You can ditch the glitch with zero sugar and zero crash from Liquid IV's new energy. Oh, I didn't know this. This was one of my favorite ones, the energy multiplier. And now they have it in sugar-free.
Wow.
I've been using the sugar-free raspberry lemonade. They had a raspberry melon, too. But I'm on the raspberry lemonade now. That's my big thing. But I didn't realize they had the energy multiplier. It is scientifically formulated to support physical energy, hydration, focus, mood, and social stamina. I wonder if that's with the matcha, because I love that one. But tastes I decided good. To do just the sugar-free. But visit liquidiv.com, use the code MAJORITYREP at checkout for 20% off your first order. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It is powered by LIV HydroScience, which is basically just an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. 8 essential vitamins and nutrients, always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. And I'll tell you something, I really do feel a difference. On some weekend days, I don't have it, and I feel it by the end of the day. Staying hydrated is super important. Ditch the glitch with zero sugar and zero crash from Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com. Get 20% off your first order with code MAJORITYREP at checkout. It's 20% off your first order with code MAJORITYREP. Not Majority Report, but MAJORITYREP at liquidiv.com. Of course, we'll put the link in the podcast and YouTube descriptions. Check them out. Both those products worth checking out. All right. Let's go to... I guess it was Friday, federal judge halted the fast-tracking deportation authority that Donald Trump has been using. Of course, you know, I think there's something like 1 million now folks missing from the labor market. People are afraid, you know, we still have the Trump administration trying to convince, I think, in California, ICE to have the ability, a federal judge for ICE to have the ability to essentially racially profile. If you look brown, if you're not speaking English, maybe at any given point, or if you're working at certain jobs, they can just pull up on you with just cause. And that's what's happening. This is number, just give me 1 second, folks. Yeah, well, I want to play that clip in a second. But on Sunday, a separate federal judge prevented the Trump administration from sending a group of migrant Guatemalan children that had already been boarded onto a plane, and hundreds more in government shelters from being deported. The judge, Sparkle Suknanen, said she had been awakened at 2:35 a.m. and alerted to the case. She issued a temporary restraining order halting removal of the children who are ages 10 to 17 for 14 days. She expanded the order to include any Guatemalan unaccompanied minors in the custody of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. This group could number in the hundreds of children.
Kidnapping.
Yeah. Meanwhile, a federal judge on Friday had blocked the Trump administration from carrying out fast-tracked deportations, which essentially was a denial of due process. Due process that was established both by statute and arguably constitutionally. Due process, again, let's not forget, the Constitution is not that it bestows certain rights onto people. It is it requires certain actions of our government in relationship to people in the United States, not just citizens. And the whole point of due process is not that you're granted some type of like special privilege. It is to establish whether the government is accurate or telling the truth in justifying the actions that it takes. You understand that if you, due process is not something that's bestowed upon people. Like, we're going to bestow it on citizens, but not bestow it on non-citizens, because you can't establish that disparity without requiring due process by the government. This is a constraint on the government. It is an attempt to prevent tyranny. It is an attempt to prevent some, you know, whether it's Obama or Trump being a king who decides you go and you don't. No, the government must justify its actions.
Although, tell that to Kristi Noem. Remember in May, I was just reminding myself, she thought that it was exactly what you're saying, that it's not trying to constrain the government from impinging on your rights. It's a luxury granted to people.
Yes.
They flip that on its head because it benefits their abuses.
Of course. And if it were a luxury or a privilege granted to people, you still couldn't determine who is worthy of it unless the government was required to provide due process.
But they claim that the Constitution is only, and in their perversion of what due process is, their central claim is that people who are not here as full citizens as of right now are not allowed to have those protections.
So, but without due process, you still can't even establish that.
Agree. It's just an amazing how many different layers of bastardization of the constitutional text that are present here, it feels like.
Let's take a trip down to Alabama, shall we? And here is Representative Barry Moore. He is a representative in Daphne, Alabama. I'm not sure what district that is in Alabama.
Second.
The second district. And I don't know. Are there pockets of wokeness in Alabama of libs? Because apparently people aren't too happy with Barry Moore's conception of things like due process.
So there are those cases now where they're trying to clean up, and I think we're going to have to look.
Clean up? Clean up? Clean up? We want to be out. We don't want you here. We want them here.
All right, pause it. Here you go. You're seeing people in his audience who have undoubtedly lost neighbors, friends, I don't know, storekeepers, folks, colleagues working with them, folks working for them, being deported, people are starting to catch on, like, hey, wait a second. This whole, I thought we were only going to get rid of Tren de Agua.
Yeah, gang members and rapists.
What? Why? Like, the grandmother living next door to me, she was an MS-13. And they're starting to realize that this whole program is just out and out xenophobia and racism and an attempt to purify the country.
He literally said clean up.
Well, what he's trying to do is he's responding to them saying, like, you've arrested citizens. You've arrested non-criminals. And he's going, we're working on cleaning that up. Oh, okay. That's his point. He's not talking about, we're trying to white, purify everything. I don't think they're
but,
quite.
But in practice, this is an ethnic cleansing campaign. Let's be real. I mean, this is ethnic cleansing. It's just not in, like, the final stage that it is in Gaza or whatever.
We must maintain the purity of the American heritage, which goes back almost over 200 years.
That's and the so response sure. from the crowd indicates that they're edgy about that sort of stuff for good reason.
We don't want them here. We want them here.
Why are people not getting due process? Why are immigrants not getting due process?
So due process for a citizen and a non-citizen are different.
Oh. There you go.
False. The Fifth and 14th Amendments allow for it. The Supreme Court has backed it many times. Shame. Shame. Shame.
What? What?
Shame.
That's it? Not even a goodbye?
Shame.
Shame. Shame. Oh, man.
Bye, Felicia.
My God. That is so embarrassing. Did he not realize that there were people with video cameras there?
I love that that guy came armed with the right defense there, which is that the Fifth and 14th Amendments do apply to all. The Fifth Amendment explicitly says persons, and that is for the federal government on, like, these rights that are protected for those folks. And the 14th Amendment applies that to the states as well. So
people are so engaged.
But what's also amazing to me is, like, this guy just, like, screw it. I'm just out of here. Like, he doesn't even give, like, a goodbye.
That's what in the gaming community we call a rage quit.
Yeah.
He just throws his controller on the ground.
Yeah, I'm done.
Take the ball and go home.
Exactly. What walk a around the house. Baby. Now, to be fair to Representative Barry Moore, who ran out the back door after his constituents apparently were aware of the Constitution and that there isn't two sets of due process for two different categories of people in the country, categories of which you cannot establish without due process in and of itself.
They should have thrown a smoke grenade.
Exactly. Exactly. He could have done, like, one of the, like, oh, my God, is that a fire over there? And then just, like, run out or something. And it's a squirrel flying. What? But here he is earlier in that meeting. And this is coming on August 29th, which was the day that Donald Trump had essentially, he had announced it prior, but the exemptions for de minimis tariffs was revoked on everything. All of the tariff regime that Trump has imposed up to this point still allowed for, I think except for China, but I'm not 100% sure on that, allowed for what was known as a de minimis exemption. If you purchase something that was less than $800, you would not get a import tax imposed on it. That's what a tariff is. It's just an import tax. And while you had corporations who would stock up in anticipation of potential tariffs, while you would have some stuff, some products not available, and the supply chain was starting to absorb some of the import taxes, the rest passed on to consumer. In de minimis situations, it's almost all absorbed by the consumer. Mm. And you're going to start to, people are going to start to see this right now. That video camera that you want to buy is going to be more expensive. I mean, everything.
The stuff, I mean, shoes, the stuff, we had an IMer last week talk about a tool, and I think that had parts that were either steel or aluminum. Those are going to be severely impacted because that's some of the highest tariffs that were put on earlier. So that is meaning like those effects are already being felt, and it's just like a preview for the rest of the tariffs that are being imposed.
A buddy of mine showed me a camera that he bought for doing podcasts. It has like a little tripod. It tracks you. I asked him how much it was. He said it was $630, but he checked it again. It's now up to $900, literally a couple of weeks later. And this, as a judge, another federal judge, or I should say a panel of federal judges on Friday, I believe it was, federal appeals court in the U.S. Court of Appeals in D.C., 7-4 ruled against Trump and his use of the International Emergency Economic Powers Act to impose all these tariffs. Generally, you need laws to pass these tariffs, and you need congressional approval. He claimed that there was an emergency in this country because of fentanyl, and then willy-nilly started levying these tariffs. And it looks like they may get rolled back. But again,
the impacts are already being felt. The impact, I mean, I as you find that, I just got to say, like, even if some of them get rolled back, we have now frozen economic development in this country for over 6 months with this back and forth with the tariff thing. I mean, that is going to chill the economy regardless of the outcome of this challenge on the legal front.
And just to be clear, these tariffs are not going to be rolled back until mid-October so that the Trump administration go to the Supreme Court. Now, I wouldn't necessarily count on the Supreme Court ruling against Trump, although there are some people who have, and we'll get to that in a moment. But here is that same Representative Barry Moore. And the reason why he ran out of the room after people started quoting the Constitution to him about due process is because prior to that, they also were basically schooling him on tariffs and trade. Here's that clip.
They want to know who pays the tariff. Is it consumers or true the exporting country?
So right now, what we just saw in a report is that we haven't seen the inflation at all. If y'all saw a report,
that wasn't the question. That wasn't a question.
So if there was inflation, you would see
the tariff.
But do y'all realize that after World War II, the Marshall Plan coming out of World War II said, okay, Germany and Japan, in order to help you rebuild, you can sell your cars in America, but we're not gonna force U.S. autos to sell into foreign countries. And so that's why when you go to Berlin, Germany, you do not see a General Motors product. When you go to Japan, you do not see a Tokyo, you don't see Fords, but you see Mercedes. It's been going on a long, long time.
What's the question?
So Trump asked Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, and said, why is that? She said, I don't know. Nobody's here asked the question. And so we'll start seeing, as we just cut the taxes on all the new cars, the interest on the taxes, that you're going to get a tax credit on any cars you buy. That helps the auto industry in Alabama because we got No, it looks like the shipping companies from the foreign nations are paying them because have y'all seen any inflation in goods?
Yes!
It was 0.2% last month. So how can it possibly be that you're seeing inflation and it's 0.2% and it was
Okay. Understand that the inflation measures that he's talking about do not take into account imported goods. And to the extent that there has been any downward pressure on inflation, inflation is up. Make no mistake about that. It has been from things like oil, because economic activity is also down. And so things like gas and oil get cheaper. But goods are definitely getting more expensive. And you know that because it took him 5 minutes to answer the question, who pays the tariffs? And he starts talking about the Marshall Plan and how there's no big SUVs in Japan or in Germany.
Because of Eisenhower.
Where like vehicles that would literally get stuck on these roads because they're so big. It's fascinating. Like, they must sit around. I mean, here the guy's gone in. He surely has seen videos of other people, of other town halls. He's going into this town hall. He knows he's going to get asked this question, but they must live in such a bubble where it is literally just driven by some weird resent that U.S. cars don't exist in Europe.
Oh, well, they're also working backwards from Trump's fixation on tariffs. I mean, do you think the Republican, what gives you hope about the Supreme Court is probably what would be happening if Trump wasn't in power again, which is it would be more free trade, more, you know, allowances for corporations to make more money and offshoring jobs here in the United States. I mean, that has been Republican economics for years and years, but he has to work backwards from Trump's kind of insane Ron Vera calculation.
Why are American cars not being sold in Europe, and why are Chinese cars being sold there? It's because they have central planning and they've decided to make the car of the future, and we've still been making the car of the American suburban past.
I mean, we are viral jokes when you look at our infrastructure and you compare it to, say, China or Japan or Europe.
Even Australia.
Or elsewhere. I mean, and that's what he probably doesn't understand is that, like, there isn't pride, I think, in the products here that he's trying to rely on that's going to overcome people's economic hardship. He's using 1950s patriotism to appeal to people here. I mean, it's ridiculous.
And let's be clear, if you wanted to build industry in this country, you wouldn't just do willy-nilly tariffs across the board on products that will never be built in this country, that you wouldn't want built in this country, that you can't grow in this country. You would have targeted tariffs, and you would then have the other half of the policy, which would be investment in these industries to grow them. But they're not doing that.
They're scrapping the CHIPS Act.
This is just a way to collect regressive taxes.
Yep.
That is what it is. It may be something else, you know, in Donald Trump's mind. It's like some type of, I don't know, a penis measuring contest. But for everything else, it is just a regressive tax. Here is Scott Bessant on with Lara Trump.
For, you know, because of journalism.
And this is like, it's good that he was on with Lara Trump because no Secretary of Treasury could ever say this in front of anybody who was even slightly interested in the topic and get away with it. This is one of the dumbest things I've ever, like, this is not junior high. This is grade school reasoning.
Why did they even bother? They should have just had Bessin in front of a mirror, and that would have been the same effect.
I think
talking.
It would have been tougher because then he'd have to see himself saying
self-reflection.
Right. And in this point, at least Lara Trump is like, exactly. Go ahead.
Of course, you have critics, and they will say that the tariffs are a hidden tax on the consumers here in the country. But give us the reality.
If they're so bad, the American consumer's paying them, why do we hear the European companies or the Chinese companies or the Chinese complaining about tariffs if it's all being borne by the American people? It's just not happening. When I talk about President Trump's
economic
policy.
Let's think about why a country and the producers in that country selling stuff to Americans would complain that all of a sudden the price is 10, 20, 30, 40% higher for that consumer, and they don't see any of that money. It's just the consumers are going to stay away and not going to buy it, and it's not going to be worth it for them to ship it. That's why they would complain about it. I mean, it's
Yeah, it's bad for their business. That's why they would complain about it.
Exactly. I don't know why. Like, why would I complain if the iPhone started charging members of the Majority Report an extra $2 a month? Because people would be like, wait a second, why is this so expensive? And
but if you're complaining, then the Majority Report listeners must be getting a real great deal out of it.
That's
his worldview. It's if a Chinese company is complaining, that must mean that we are doing a good job. It's like the Chinese companies versus the American public. Don't you understand
Again,
that?
It's like they only see the money going out and not the thing coming back.
Right.
They buy it all in bulk themselves. He knows the truth here.
Yes, of course.
And it's just, I don't know if she does. She may not. She may not. But he certainly knows.
You have
knows
haters.
The truth.
Why are they wrong, sir?
Give us the reality. What a funny question.
And here's the interesting one more interesting point about this tariffs before we go. So the tariffs are starting to be imposed in spring. You know, Independence Day or whatever he called it, Retribution Day or
Liberation Day. How could you forget? How could you forget?
I had like 10 of them.
Exactly.
It's called Juneteenth for business.
Liberation Day is here today.
Ultra liberation.
Super liberation. Like everything in this country, the idea of tariffs. There has been a sort of secondary market on this. So if the tariffs ultimately are found to be illegally imposed, all of this money that has been collected by the federal government has to go back to these producers. Now, the amazing thing is these producers may get off pretty good because they may have passed on a certain percentage of that money to somebody else, the consumers, whatnot. Now, I don't know if they're obligated in any way to then pay back the consumers. My guess would be no. So you've got this potential of a tariff refund in the event that a court rules, the Supreme Court rules against these tariffs and finds that they were illegally imposed. So you have this thing called the tariff refund. Right now, let's say your tariff refund is worth $10, but it's hypothetical. It's almost like you're a creditor of a company that has gone bankrupt. You may get your $10 that they owe you back, or you may not. And what happens in those situations, and has happened in this situation, is that people came in over the past 6-8 months and said, you've got a potential tariff refund for $10. But you're relying on the court to say that these tariffs are illegal. You don't know if that's going to happen. Right now, I will pay you $3. And you give me the right to collect that $10 refund if it happens. And so you've got people buying up these tariff refunds. They're hypotheticals, but they're selling them for real money. That's what happens with bad debt, too.
Mm-hmm.
You get people coming in going like, I'm going to pay you 10 cents on the dollar for that debt that you have. You don't even know if you're going to collect. I'm willing to take the risk. Well, it turns out one of the biggest players in purchasing up tariff refunds really early in this mm-hmm. process, back in like May and in June, was this subsidiary of a financial firm called Cantor Fitzgerald, which up until Donald Trump became president was run by Donald Trump's now Commerce Secretary, what is it, Howard Lutnick?
Yeah, but it's not run by him anymore, right?
No, so it's not. It's completely out of his
independent.
Hands.
Independent.
It is run by the Lutnick sons. And they have bought up a ton of this tariff refund credits. And the idea of like these financial these financial products is not terribly, you know, shocking. People buy bad debt all the time, and this is what it is. It's like potential debt. But even even if, understand, 25 cents on the dollar, 30 cents on the dollar, Wired reported on this over the summer. Mm-hmm. In June or May or April, today, after this initial ruling by the courts, that's probably worth 50 cents on the dollar now. So as it stands, we don't know exactly how much of this debt they bought up. And remember, there's like, what, $100 billion worth of tariffs that have been collected at this point? Taxes that may have to be refunded? They may have bought, I don't know, half of $50 billion for 25 cents on the dollar. Mm-hmm. They could turn around and sell that. They just like made billions of dollars. There is no doubt in my mind, they're dumping half of it right now. They're covering everything that they paid for, plus a little more, and then holding on to the rest in the event that it pays off.
Yep. And one of the Lutnick sons, I believe, is doing business with Eric Trump on their cryptocurrency venture. And as of this morning, the Wall Street Journal reported, or yesterday at least, the Trump family has officially amassed $5 billion after their crypto launch, World Liberty Financial. Hopefully later this week we'll have on Molly White to talk about that insane level of corruption. But it's just amazing that this is accepted right now.
Oh, the amount of money that these people have extracted from our economy is just... I don't know if we'll ever be able to fully sort of like absorb it.
There'll be a little disturbance, but we're okay with that. It won't be much.
Between the, you know, being president when the COVID collapsed the economy and this, like, he's probably one of the most individually catastrophic person from a economic standpoint.
Oh yeah. I mean, he is the most impactful president of my lifetime, and it's not close.
Oh yeah. And I have a feeling like the number of things that are just sort of propped up. You have these bank regulators backing off, basically testing, more or less stress testing banks, which was a key feature in the wake of the 2008 crisis. Making sure that they have the right amount of capital relative to what their investments are, making sure that they're not engaging in risky financial schemes with essentially depositor monies. I mean, all those type of things, all those woke things. You've got the idea that the floating around now that they're going to provide crypto as collateral for mortgages.
Oh, that's
crypto is a little bit volatile.
That's what we need. That's the lesson from 2008. We need more volatility and speculation in the real estate
market.
I'll fix it. People are asking if we have a dog there. Sometimes you'll hear this. There's a dog in the hallway that likes to bark. So that maybe
we don't have a dog in studio.
But there's someone that does on our floor. But am I hearing you correctly that basically Cantor Fitzgerald bought the rights to this refunding, essentially hedging on and with an understanding or a belief that there's a good chance that the tariffs are nullified by the courts?
It's a bet.
Lutnick has inside information about the tariff policy and the legal standing behind it, and his sons just happen to hedge on the tariffs essentially and get a piece of the tariff refunds. That's how this is shaping out.
Oh no, not a piece. Yeah. In the event that it is Lutnick's sons basically betting that the tariff regime is illegal.
Yep.
And that the federal government's going to have to pay back all of this money or a significant portion of it. And they have purchased the rights to those refunds for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah. And they're probably just freelancing and their father's the commerce secretary, right? They're just going in blind and making that assessment. I mean, obvious.
If Wired published this, I have no doubt if Howard Lutnick saw this,
yep,
had no idea what his sons were up to.
Yep.
Are you kidding? I would never. I'm sure he sat there and instead of thinking, oh my God, all of this business that I built up and gave to my sons, they're going to ruin it by buying all of this worthless refund opportunity. I wish I could contact them in some way, but I know that would be wrong.
I have to let them fail on their own.
Exactly.
They have to build their own pile.
Exactly. It is their mistake to make. I'm sure that's what's going on there. He doesn't talk to his sons, only his grandmother, who never complains about her social security being cut off. The level of corruption, and the thing is, the level of corruption is so astronomical. I don't know. You have to go back to literally the robber baron era, I think, to come close. And really, it's debatable.
Yes.
It's debatable as to whether this is worse than that.
I think this, like, Teapot Dome looks like, you know, good government compared
exactly.
to this.
Well, I just read analysis saying that the level of income and wealth inequality has exceeded the worst of the Gilded Age. So that's where we're at.
Where is this guy? Some, like, billionaire hedge funder is in the news for saying that wealth inequality's gotten out of control.
Yeah, his name is Ray Dalio, founder of Bridgewater Associates. He basically said that classically increased wealth and value gaps lead to increased populism of the right and populism of the left, and irreconcilable differences between them that cannot be resolved through the democratic process.
He says we're back in the 30s and 40s.
I mean, he's right.
And it's leading to more autocracy.
Billionaire says what people have been saying for a while, but because he's a billionaire, there's a news story about it.
Of course, you got to listen to him. And despite all of this, like how massive this corruption is within the context of the history of the United States, I'm sure that there's been much more extreme looting of various countries around the world. But in terms of the United States, we're probably in the most extreme sort of like looting phase of this country. It's still probably maybe the second or third, fourth headline.
Yeah.
When you talk about, like, we're destroying the 100-some-odd years that it took to build up the premier institutions that deal with public health being destroyed within a context of a month. In terms of, like, labor rights being destroyed, in terms of like safeguards for consumers and the economy being destroyed, in terms of like rolling up and building. We have now net negative migration into this country. And yet we are on the eve of increasing ICE so that it's larger than some government's army, a domestic federal militia, essentially, that is going around and going to be rolling up grandmoms and dads and kids and just your neighbors. I mean, so like the number of stories, and we are funding a genocide and an ethnic cleansing and the annexation of the West Bank, and also destroying what appears to be the vast majority of our relationships with the other great powers and emerging powers in the world.
Yep.
China, India. I mean,
did you see that in the images out of BRICS? I mean, Putin, Modi, and G were like basically doing a three-way hug. Yay, America's destroying itself. Here, let's come together.
It's like, this is exactly what we've been planning for.
All it took was $750,000 worth of Facebook ads, and look what we did.
Yeah.
If only we had known.
That's why I say Newsom Slotnick 28.
Oh, thank you, Brian.
We will talk about Brian.
We have to check his bank account.
Yeah, exactly. Brian is wearing a hat that says 1630 funds. Well, weird.
1630.
But that counts as disclosure, right?
Nothing. Exactly.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's like a NASCAR suit on it.
All right, we got to take a break. We're going to head into the fun half. Folks, just a reminder.
Did you want to plug that one thing? Just reminding you. Sorry, I am due. It's right there. The Miss Rachel thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, shoot. Yeah, yeah. Let's play this. I want to play this video. And this seems, I don't know, this seems about as definitive as you can get without a ruling from the International Court of Justice. Now, of course, the International Court of Justice has now been basically rendered almost completely ineffective between Israel and the United States, threatening of multiple prosecutors, threatening of sanctions, threatening of people in this country who are going to uphold any of those rulings. But the International Association of and like literally countdown until Israel starts their own, or the ADL starts their own International Association of Genocide scholars, I should say. It was a resolution passed on Sunday. The International Association of Genocide Scholars, who consist of the world's most foremost genocide scholars, oddly enough, passed a resolution saying that Israel's nearly 2-year military campaign in Gaza meets, quote, the legal definition of genocide. It's sort of fascinating that this is not getting that much attention. Like, remember when it was a big deal? Like, it was a completely, and every, all of these people would argue on Twitter, it's not genocide, completely, like,
we're anti-Semitic, we hate Jews, because we would say, so how could you say that about people who were victims of the Holocaust?
Words have meaning.
Killing tens of thousands of children, as if leveling cities into rubble, as if bombing hospitals, bombing universities, bombing power plants, cutting off water, cutting off food. If it's not legally the definition of genocide, it's okay. Right? Like, that was the sort of like why they would focus exclusively on the question of whether the word is appropriate. Well, the association has roughly 500 members. 86% of members who voted on the resolution approved it. One of the administrators said, we were very surprised at the level of consensus there was.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not.
The resolution states that the October 7th attacks by Hamas against Israel and prompted the campaign in Gaza constitutes international crimes. But it also concludes that Israel's response violates all five conditions set out in the 1948 convention, including killing members of the group, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or part. That is according to one of the members of the association's executive board. The 1948 convention, of course, is was in the wake of where these, principles were drawn up in the wake of the Holocaust.
Yeah.
The resolution accused Israel of carrying out, quote, indiscriminate and deliberate attacks against civilians and civilian infrastructure in Gaza. The destruction of a substantial part of group constitutes genocide, the association concluded. Here is a clip from Miss Rachel. As you know, we spoke to a doctor, I guess it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago, who had come back from Gaza.
Or no, he was in Gaza, Dr. Luban.
Oh, right, I'm sorry.
No, it's
while okay. He was in Gaza, he was also aware that the baby formula was being prevented from entering Gaza. Now,
that was Amber Salimi who talked about that.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry. So yeah. I wasn't there for that one.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. And she had a colleague who was stopped with baby formula, and she had told us that baby formula was not allowed into Gaza. I'd be fascinated by anyone's argument as to why you can't let baby formula into Gaza. But here's Miss Rachel, who has asked people to share this video, pressure members of Congress. Like we say, we said this earlier, whether it is, you know, Richie Torres finding out that, like, maybe the ground is shifting a little bit in terms of people's disposition towards Israel and what they're doing. Whether it's Congress people deciding they're no longer going to take AIPAC money, or Graham Plattner getting huge applause in saying we shouldn't be using our tax dollars to destroy Gaza. Things are beginning to shift, at least within the context of the Democratic Party. And so passing this around, maybe we'll also see it shift in the Republican Party, at least in the context of providing baby formula for babies.
Hi, members of Congress. Thank you so much for listening to me and Susie today. About 20 minutes ago, little Susie got hungry, and I just grabbed formula and gave her a bottle. As I was feeding her, I thought about moms in Gaza that can't get formula, and they can't breastfeed because they're too malnourished. I can't imagine the anguish of hearing that same cry, the cry of hunger, and not being able to feed my baby. And this isn't about politics. This cry of hunger is the same everywhere, and it's absolute cruelty to have formula miles away. Please sign the letter to get formula, food, and aid into Gaza. We will remember who signed it. It doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican. This is about babies having formula. A few words to the Christian members of Congress. If you're not going to sign this, I would just like to know why, because Jesus is so clear that we need to feed the hungry. He says when we feed the hungry, we feed him. He says to love your neighbor as yourself, and he's clear that your neighbor is everyone. And we would never want our baby to starve. We need to love our neighbors as ourselves. Have a chance to do something great and be one of the people that wanted to get the formula to these starving babies. Very connected to a huge number of parents having the number one kid show in the U.S. And people don't want this. They don't want to be part of kids starving. They don't want to be part of 18,000 kids being killed. They're devastated. Moms are commenting that they want to send their own breast milk to Gaza. Everyone's saying, how can I help? How can I get these babies fed? And you have that power. And we just are begging you. And I think so many parents in my community, their compassion for kids doesn't stop at borders. They want all kids to be safe, fed, and loved. And they know that that's the best thing for our children as well. We feel like politicians aren't hearing us, that we don't want children to suffer this way. We want to be helpers like Mr. Rogers told us to be. When you were a kid and you dreamed of what you could be when you grow up and you decided to go into public service eventually, I know that you didn't want to be part of starving any child. It's not who we are. And I know deep within in your heart and soul, you know that that's wrong. And we have to do something about it. History is going to look back on this time and say, who did something? Be part of this group that did something. I sat with a mom from Gaza, Isra, and I would love for you to meet Isra and I. We're both teachers. We both have little girls, but her daughter doesn't have legs anymore. Her daughter is Raha. The whole world has fallen in love with Raha. She is the sweetest, brightest, most loving little girl. Kids are our whole world, and every child is a universe. And putting politics aside, Democrat, Republican, it doesn't matter. We have to do something. Let's not let one more baby or child die of starvation. I am so honored to have had the chance to talk to you, and I want to thank you so much for listening. Thank you.
We'll put a link to where you can pressure your congresspeople to sign that letter in the podcast and YouTube description. I'm going to take a quick break and into the fun half of the program. Just a reminder, it's your support that makes this show possible. You can become a member. Join themajorityreport.com. When you do, you not only help this show survive and thrive, but you also can IM the show. And feel like you're supporting us. I don't know. JustCoffee.coop, fair trade coffee.
And help us incubate.
Exactly. Help us incubate. JustCoffee.coop, fair trade coffee. They're a co-op and got great politics. They got a bunch of different coffees, including the Majority Report blend. If you use the coupon code MAJORITY, you get 10% off. That's going to be helpful. Price of coffee going up. Matt, Left Reckoning.
Yeah, Left Reckoning. We got a show tonight. Very special show featuring the face reveal of, to some people anyway, who don't follow you
oh,
on
no
Instagram.
Way.
Brian Vokey.
Gonna be what?
Low number episode for Left Reckoning coming.
Wow.
This is before you don't roll out any new products until the first week of September type of situation.
It's just like, yeah. But actually, we're going to be talking about this elephant graveyard sort
nice.
Of disemboweling of the Roganverse. I'm not sure which one is really taken off. But
it's sphere.
I think Rogan's sphere.
Somebody's
going to
lose their green
better.
Room pass.
Yeah, exactly.
At the mothership.
Somebody's going to lose the green room pass.
I've linked up with a different mothership, so.
exactly.
Yeah, and Amina Sheikh also talking about some organizing for unions against for support of Palestine and more. So check that out, patreon.com/leftreckoning.
Quick break. Be right back with the fun half.
You right. are in for it.
All right, folks, 646-257-3920. See you in the fun.
Oh, no.
Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Who sent us this?
Anarchy. Alpha males are back. Boy is back. And the alpha males are back.
Just as delicious as you could imagine.
The alpha males are back. Boy is back. And the alpha males are back.
Just want to degrade the white man.
Alpha males are back.
I take all of it to my throat.
Alpha males are back.
Snowflake says what?
The alpha males are back.
You are a madman.
And the alpha males are back.
Oh no, Sam Cedar! What a fucking nightmare!
Yeah, or a couple of them. Just put them in rotation.
DJ Denner.
Well, the problem with those is they're like 45 seconds long, so I don't know if they're enough for the break.
That's fucking nonsense.
You see, white people doing drugs that look worse than normal white people, and all white people look disgusting.
And the alpha males,
psych. Fuck them. Fuck them.
Snowflake says what?
What?
Snowflake says what?
A hell of a lot of bank. A hell of a lot of bank. A hell of a lot of bank. Okay. I'm making stupid money. A hell of a lot of bank. A hell of a lot of bank.
Lives matter. Have you tried doing an impression on a college campus?
I think that there's no reason why reasonable people across the divide can't all agree with this. Psych.
And the alpha males are back.
African, and the alpha males are black, 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 and the Africans are back, 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 back.
When you see Donald Trump out there, doesn't a little part of you think that America deserves to be taken over by jihadists? Keep it at 100.
Can't knock the hustle.
Come on! Fuck them! Fuck them! Things I do for the bigger game plan. By the way, it's my birthday!
My birthday!
Happy birthday to me, Jew boy!
I have a thought experiment for you.
And the alpha males are back, back. Africans are black, black. Alpha males are black, black. Africans are back, back.
Come on! Come on! Come on! Someone needs to pay the price for blasphemy around here.
I am a total
pussy,
total,
pussy,
total,
pussy, total, pussy, total, pussy, total, pussy, total, pussy, total, pussy, total, pussy, total, pussy.
We are back. Sam Cedar, Emma Viglin, Majority Report. The back from the.
I think it's good.
The, what was that?
I think it's good.
Oh. The, for some reason, it doesn't hit as it. That yeah. Much, like, it doesn't. It just seems too distant. Like
too tinny. Get better mics.
When is show. MS Now being unveiled? Do we know?
By the next year, right?
Oh, is it not until next year? Shoot.
What MS then?
I'm too excited for it.
You need it MS Now.
I need that. In my veins, I need that. MS Now, ladies and gentlemen. This is fun. Let's watch this. Just because I just effing hate ICE so much. I can't even, like, the any opportunity you have to embarrass an ICE agent, I think is honestly, like, near metal worthy.
Right.
You got to be careful because they're starting to, like, charge people, protesters with all sorts of stuff.
Don't touch anybody.
Don't touch anybody. Don't interfere with their work, but belittle them in any way you can.
You can interfere with their work by encouraging certain people not to go and warning folks.
Oh,
that's
no, you can do that. You can do that. That's not interference.
Blocking them from certain places.
You're telling other people to do stuff. That's not
true.
You're not inhibiting their actions. You're just inhibiting encouraging other people to behave in a certain way that makes them avoid them. Here is some protesters in L.A., and I appreciate that they did this. You had ICE, and they were at a parking lot.
Federal building.
Federal building. They were assembling there to go out on their runs. And
nothing more useful we can use our federal buildings for.
Oh, of course. And someone, it seems, accidentally put a bike chain on the door.
You guys is fucked up. You guys is fucked up.
Oh, you trying to act all hard for the fucking gate? Yeah, act it all hard.
How does it feel to be locked up unlawfully?
You guys are locking yourself up.
It feels fucking horrible, right?
Yeah, it's not very fucking fun, is it?
They look like my new cats when I put like a box in front of the side of the couch so they can't scratch at it. They're like, what do we do here?
Blocking them, physically blocking them from doing their job is you know, is dangerous. And, you know, and it seems like somebody maybe accidentally put that chain there. It happens all the time. All the time. Sometimes you chain your bike up and realize what you're doing. Also, we also have to concede that it is quite possible that there is a mom or a dad who is being prevented from being taken away from their children at that moment. And these federal officers need to be able to get out to arrest that mom or that dad before they make dinner for their kid or take their kid to school or something like that.
Yeah.
So there is a price associated with that.
Right.
I got audio of the moment the chain went around the gate there.
Whoopsie. I like the passive language.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we have to realize this comes with a price. There's going to be a kid who's going to be driven to school by their parent without being terrorized because of something like that. So this is not it's not like it's expense free.
I mean, and also, you don't know that person wasn't trying to keep them safe from the other protesters, like locking them in, just like, wait, just stick around. I'm protecting you by incarcerating you, which is oddly, you know, a flipping of the logic of ICE.
You can't know anything, which is why it's important appear to your jury duty if you're summoned.
I also suspect that, I mean, when you see a chain like that, clearly the work of Trenta de Aragua or
chain gangs. That's where they get
that. Was
the name.
A real thing that happened, wasn't it? Oh, it was Hamas was doing the chains. What are you referring to?
Well, I was just referring to that video.
That actually happened with one of the people being like, "Look at this chain." I think that happened during the campus protests.
Interesting.
Gaza.
Oh yeah.
Oh right.
Hamas chain.
The Hamas funny. Oh yes.
Actually happened.
Yes. Yeah. It might have been Colombia. So those anti-Semites at Jewish Voices for Peace.
Yeah, we're coordinating with Hamas to buy bike chains at Models.
How else are you going to get them? They did, thankfully, though, those protesters a better job than Laura Loomer did with her chain, because they remembered to put it around both doors as opposed to just the handle on one.
Oh, and someone added JR and Philly. Obviously, it was Laura Loomer.
Oh.
Who is JR famous for chain. But had she done Great it, minds. She would have just chained one side of the fence so that the door would have opened.
I just said that. You just weren't listening.
That's what we were talking about.
Sorry. I was looking at the next clip. Sorry about that.
Literally Whoopsie. Just said that.
Folks, I'm still partially on vacation.
We'll choose a take and post.
Okay, yeah. Can we edit that?
I mean, it was your idea, boss.
Okay. Let's, in the wake of that... there's a lot of people who are, you know, trying to figure out how we should respond to the fact that Donald Trump wants to Kristi Noem want to invade Chicago. And just a reminder, federal judges found that Trump's use of the military in L.A. was illegal. And another reminder, although I guess this is just sort of coming out. Rural states in the American South and West had some of the nation's highest violent crime and homicide rates in 2024. Now, to be clear, homicide rates and violent crime, broadly speaking, is going down precipitously in the wake of the bump that came from the COVID era. And we had one or two people on this program who were claiming that this was a huge, like, Biden thing, or somehow there was a George Floyd dying caused crime to spike everywhere and cops to back off the beat or whatever it was. Not the once-in-a-lifetime, knock on wood, although Bobby Kennedy is doing his best to make sure that's not the case, pandemic. But you have crime rates at their highest in red state and rural areas in this country, and yet Donald Trump wants to send the military in to police cities like Washington, D.C., which this year had been experiencing a 26% drop from an already 30-year low in crime rates. This is where we're at. And so you would think there should be some pushback, and we're seeing some coming out of Chicago and Illinois. But now let's look at MS's. I tried to do my best. A perspective. Here's Scarborough in the Morning Joe. Are they going to be able to keep that name when they go? I think they probably will, right?
Morning Now.
It's my
morning
source, now. Joe.
Now in the morning. Morning Joe. He's got a different perspective on this.
Well, my concern is you have leaders in Chicago that see this, as you say. We've been reading about this for years now. Every weekend, and maybe crime has gone down. But, you know, we had the mayor of Chicago on last week.
Oh, saying, pause it for a second. Hold on for a second. This whole thing, maybe crime has gone down? Well, maybe we should check. Maybe they're already having cutbacks at Morning Joe.
Crime goes up, crime goes down. You can't explain it.
Yeah, and we didn't get to it last week, but it was on our sound sheet. That interview with Brandon Johnson was insane that he's referencing, where Johnson goes painstakingly through all of the data and the different crime prevention initiatives that Chicago has successfully implemented, causing this decrease in crime. And you just have Joe Scarborough not listening at all, being like, why don't you accept the help from the federal government to get crime down? He kept saying that over and over again. It's like, did you listen? They don't need your help. They don't need it.
And here he has to casually mention, as an aside, they're talking about crime, that crime is down. But maybe it's down.
It is. Feels crazy.
Maybe it's down. But it's still Chicago.
But my feelings.
It's so...
Zionist?
I don't know. It's so weird for him to have to, like, it's like, we've got to do this segment. I do have to nod to the actual reality of what's going on. So, real thing happening, and now let's get on to the part that we want to talk about.
See, this, as you say, we've been reading about this for years now. Every weekend, and maybe crime has gone down. But, you know, we had the mayor of Chicago on last week saying...
I just want to say really quick, we've been reading about this. Like, it's all mediated. You don't live this. You take a car in and out of studios. You don't know what it's actually like.
And he's doing the thing that when I joke about the Zionism thing, but it's about, like, right-wing reactionaries more broadly, which is that the data says one thing, but my feelings say another. And those are both kind of equally valid ways to approach politics.
I know a guy who was robbed.
Yeah.
Every weekend, and maybe crime has gone down. But, you know, we had the mayor of Chicago on last week saying, oh, we don't need any more police officers. Police officers aren't the answer. No police officers.
He didn't say that.
I think he said no five
times.
Can you pause
it?
Look what's happening.
He didn't say that. I listened to the clip. He bragged about adding police officers in conjunction with the other parts, but not from the federal. Not some federal police force or the National Guardsmen coming in. Now, I don't know if I love all of that framing. I think that police should, like, we don't need as many police as we do. But he addressed the answer that Scarborough was saying that he didn't. And that's what's so insane here. He's just lying about what Brandon Johnson even said.
And I will also say, it's also weird to say, maybe crime is down, but he said he didn't need any more police. Like, why, where?
Right.
Like, is that the right? Right. Is that the right, like...
But look at the Chiron.
But...
They're talking about a violent, some violence over the weekend in Chicago.
But...
Still, with this violence, crime would be down.
Crime is down, but we don't need any more police.
You said you weren't hungry and you rejected my food?
Yes. You're not hungry, but you don't want food? That's weird. Go ahead.
But, you know, we had the mayor of Chicago on last week saying, oh, we don't need any more police officers. Police officers aren't the answer. No police officers. You know, I think he said no five times.
He
you
didn't
look what's
say
happening
that.
This weekend. He looks, you know, I actually think that J.B. Pritzker should do something radical. I think he should pick up the phone, call the president and say, you know, and I know you don't have the constitutional authority to deploy the National Guard here and to police my. You can do that in D.C. You can't do that in Chicago. But let's partner up. These are the most dangerous parts of my state. We would love to figure out how to have a partnership that's constitutional, that respects the sort of...
I'm sorry, I held off for a sec. If this was being said on Fox News, we would be calling it an extremely racist line of argument, because he's literally lying about what Brandon Johnson said to his face on television and talking about how J.B. Pritzker needs to step in and supersede the black mayor of Chicago for all of the crime that's rampant, according to, well, not even by his own admission. He's saying that it's down and then lying about the words that were put in his and putting words in his mouth and claiming that he's not serious about crime, which if that was said on Fox News, it would have racialized undertones like the Trump administration's argument does. But it's being said on Morning Joe, and apparently that's A-OK.
Joe's a Republican.
I mean,
let's hear, though, what his specific idea is. Come up with a special way that the feds can come in and help you with crime.
So radical.
But yeah. But that's constitutional. I mean, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? You have the FBI pulled off of doing any type of real investigating to do beat cop work.
Yeah. Go back down to Mar-a-Lago and see what Trump thinks, and then you can report it on your news
program. That's what's so it's
bend the knee more.
It is unbelievable how this guy has had to shift around to try and figure out how he can enter in this new era with some type of audience, because I think in the back of his head, he must realize, on some level, we're going to be a little bit less relevant when we're MS now to the sort of inside the Beltway crowd without our association to NBC. Go ahead.
That's constitutional, that respects the sort of balance of federalism between the federal government and the state government. And let's work together to save lives. Because right now, just the, hey, nothing to see here moving along. No problem here. Hey, Donald Trump, we don't need you. And, the mayor talking
about... Oh, boss,
and
we also know, incidentally, I can't even believe, I even entertained it that far. Donald Trump's not working with anybody on anything.
Right.
Who's this Donald Trump he's talking about? This version of I'm sure he'd sit down with Pritzker and come up with a really well-reasoned idea. This isn't all about, playing politics. What insanity this all is. It's insanity to imply that if you reasonably approach, maybe if you would regionally approach Donald Trump and said, my wife, Mika, she hasn't had all this work done. And she's not right. Didn't he go?
Right. God, well, he would have to speak on her behalf. Not that he lets her speak at all.
Insane.
She has to sit there.
It is so fantastical.
Yeah.
What he's talking about. I mean, even if there was if there was a kernel of validity to the idea that you need some type of federal state program to deal with the dropping crime. Who are you what are you talking about? Go ahead.
We're going to protect people's dignity in our city. We'll protect their lives. That's protecting their dignity. It would be radical for us to figure out a way to actually do what I've been saying from the very beginning on Washington, and that is seeing politicians creating partnerships that protect their people.
Yeah, it seems unlikely, though, if passes prologue, that either the governor or the president will take that.
I agree. We should do more reaching across the aisle.
Yeah, that's the problem. Has anybody given Donald Trump a chance? Maybe we've all just had this assumption that he's just a lunatic. But no, who's given him a chance? Has Pritzker really tried to pick up the phone and say, hey, let's hash this out like two grownups?
Well, remember that Newsom was at LA was first, and Newsom was trying to get him on the phone and trying to dissuade him from this. And it felt like the response from both Bass and Newsom was not as strong and robust as what we're seeing in Chicago. Now, Illinois has the benefit of this happening in California and then in D.C. before them, but this is actually good politics, is to stand united and look like a leader, like what Pritzker is doing here, versus cowering from it and trying to capitulate, because that gets you nothing. It doesn't matter.
Politicians creating partnerships that protect their people is it's like Kamala Coda.
It's so
it's
weird.
Hakeem Jeffries Coda.
Why has that happened already?
Because of the alliteration. Kamala wouldn't alliterate that much, but Hakeem would.
P is for politician's grandpa.
Inspector Kuno. Sounds like Morning Joe has been talking with the Baileys.
Exactly.
Make fun half again. It infuriates me to no end that the media is playing into the crime prevention narrative as if Trump sending boots into American cities is anything other authoritarian power grab. The same kind of questions was asked to the Maryland governor on Sunday shows. Absolutely reprehensible. It was never about crime.
We should have Gil Duran back on at some point to talk a little bit about the network state, because this is how the tech bros are merging with the fascist elements of like the natalists from the Trump administration, where they talk about how San Francisco and other liberal cities are basically degenerates, or it's filled with degeneracy and vagrancy and homelessness. God forbid you have to look at somebody who's suffering, and that you need this sort of like surveillance state crackdown on it to make sure that everybody is safe. And they pump the most like inflammatory urban crime content to the top of people's feeds. It's like if local news was on steroids, yeah, with even more misinformation, more AI, yeah, more algorithmic fixing. And they have merged with the fascists in like the traditional Republican Party and Trump, the nativists, to create like basically turn our war on terror, you know, Patriot Act rollback of our rights that already happened domestically, but make it even more so that it's like the rollback that we impose on the rest of the world, torture and stuff. It's on our U.S. soil now.
Balaji Srinivasan, one of the guys Duran talks about, literally uses a metaphor of word Zionists in these cities. And that was the model they took on San Francisco. Like, yep. It's crazy.
It seems like a poor choice of metaphor.
Yeah.
Chicago Steve, we already have federal state programs to help fight crime. Trump cut funding in those in his big, dumb bill. Ramona Frankenstein, my dad used to watch Morning Joe every morning when I was in high school. Honestly, might have been what radicalized me to be a leftist, is to have to listen to that chode spew his nonsense. Shove it up your bussy, Joe.
It's really a shame. Like, you know, we talk about like kids.
Ew.
Yeah, it's gross. Yeah. But like the abuse...
I hear bussy quite a bit from my my kids. So
Your kid's locked up?
Not 100% sure what that means, but I know it's not good.
Yeah. You all right?
I forgot what I was going to say. It's about like how we're abusing adults with media on a mass scale. But
yes.
That kind of took me off track.
The busty stuff.
I mean, almost AI is so like is almost abusive, and just how many people are getting convinced by these things.
I don't want to say who, but when I was home, I saw somebody watching YouTube Shorts, and it was those YouTube Shorts about that were very clearly narrated by AI and probably written by AI too. And the whole plot of them is like, here's a survival story of like he was in the woods and then this happened, and now it's like, but it's listening to the AI voice, and it's just like,
I mean,
we're in trouble.
I won't say the person either, but it was a family member who was fooled by a Shedeur Sanders. Deion Sanders' son was drafted in the NFL, and like there's a lot of older white people that don't realize they're pretty racist about him, but they are. And I was like, you know, dude, this is like racist Nazi content. He's not saying this. They animated this guy, you know, the kid's mouth to say something that was like absolutely outrageous, and it clearly was some Nazi propaganda, and it just got this person. So
okay, so this is a little bit kind of, this is the thing that I've seen go really viral. It's these videos that are like Ring cameras of pets doing things that are like horrible, but it's all AI generated, because you can see here there's a dog with a water hose walks inside. But the water hose is now inside the house. Like, this is all, this is not actually happening. How would the hose?
Oh, really?
And people share these. You see them, and I was like, oh my god, I would hate if that happened. And it's like, it didn't happen.
Right.
None of this is happening.
Oh, would you really hate it if it happened? That would be hilarious. You know what would be great is if you could train your dog to go and like wash your car.
Yeah. Well, the good news is that this will probably stop at cute pet videos.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it won't be a problem
like
for
global
society.
Affairs in World War III.
Yeah. But we were talking about this 10 years ago, right? Like there was, I remember when Adobe had that thing where you could generate audio.
The voice, yeah.
The voice. And it was like, this is coming down the pike. That was like in 2015. And we were freaked out about it now then. And now it's actually
appropriately. Like,
we have to find somebody to actually play Brian on Left Reckoning. Because he's just an AI generated bot.
Yeah, well, ChatGPT-5 can do video now.
I hit up Central Casting. I got a good looking guy.
Yeah, we just got.
Some... Wait to see how beautiful this guy is. That's playing Brian.
The voice of Brian just comes from actually a floating orb. It's over there. It just
transcends.
It just glows every time he speaks, and that's it.
Newsome Slotkin Climby.
It's like when Elon gives a directive to Grok. That wasn't a Nazi salute.
I wonder, should we even play this video? But number 19.
Oh, what's that?
Well, you know, for years we were like, Jimmy Dore is just 10 years ago, almost 9 years ago. I guess it was 9 years ago around this time. Jimmy Dore is just like putting out so much bullshit and misinformation and just pulling progressives, leftists down some type of like rabbit hole that just disempowers them. And things like not recognizing that the Supreme Court is relevant in terms of your voting. The idea, and then subsequent to that, arguing against teachers unions and just increasingly taking reactionary positions.
And this was really born out of like when you talk about 9 years ago, it was pretty much 9 years ago exactly, because this was after Bernie had lost the primary.
Yeah,
and there was a lot of anger.
Summer of 2016.
Right. A lot of anger, and much of that, you know, people were right to be angry at the way he was treated. But also there was a element of deep misogyny that I think Jimmy really inflamed. I couldn't identify it at the time as someone who was in my early 20s, but something never felt right to me about it. And you can look up how he treated Francesca Fiorentini, how he even treated Anna Kasparian. Like, the through line for Jimmy, or him, his stand-up fantasizing about me getting punched in the face, like, there is something that he taps into even prior to his, like, COVID denialism. I would argue that Jimmy's explosion in popularity was in many ways riding on deep misogyny. And I feel like, what's his new stand-up special called?
Grab Him by the Pussy, I believe.
And that's from...
this weekend.
Oh, okay. So
topical.
Now, a lot of people would say, like, oh, it's also just as untimely to even be talking about Jimmy Dore anymore. But on some level, like, this is a coda pretty close to the epoch and the move from sort of reactionary to full on sort of nativist. Here he is introducing a clip about Nick Fuentes. And we should tell you that Nick Fuentes was part of a group called the Groypers. I don't know if they're an official group, but that was their sort of like moniker. And the Groypers have been going after Charlie Kirk for almost 5 or 10 years. I can't remember how long it was. But there were clips of Charlie Kirk, probably 10, actually, now that I think about it. Or certainly during the first Trump administration. They would come specifically, they had a problem with Charlie Kirk. I think TPUSA being not homophobic. And I think I remember like some Groypers interrupting a TPUSA thing when Charlie Kirk was on stage with a gay Republican. And now I don't know if Charlie Kirk has sort of like renounced some of that because now that he's found God, and I don't mean he's just figured out how he's going to make more money. I mean, well, yes, I mean both. But nevertheless, here is Jimmy Dore playing a Nick Fuentes clip because it attacks Charlie Kirk, I have no problem attacking Charlie Kirk. But there are other people who do that. And pretending that Nick Fuentes' entire career has not been built upon racism and anti-Semitism. I mean, the guy is an anti-Semite and a racist.
Openly.
Openly.
Proudly.
Like it's his... It's his value proposition.
Yeah.
Well, and come on, Sam. You're distracting us with all these social issues.
He was just debating Candace Owens about how it's not just a culture problem with black people; it's their actual genetics.
And here he is. Like, look at what he just dismisses. I mean, this is just again. I know Jimmy Dore is not relevant to this audience, but it is sort of interesting to watch the full turn. Completed.
Nick Fuentes, boy, he's really stirring it up. He's been he's been accused of being a CIA plant to divide the to prop up the neocons and take down people who are fighting the neocons. So Nick Fuentes is a firebrand. He's a young, I think he's 25 years old. He's been accused of a lot of things. He's been accused of being anti-Semitic. Who hasn't? He's been accused of being racist.
Can you fucking believe that?
Also, a lot of people in that boat.
Pause it for a second and just go back. He hasn't been accused. He's literally announced it.
Yeah. Proclaimed.
Yeah, like he wears it as a badge of honor. I mean, there's just no way that Dore doesn't know what he's doing here, that this isn't on purpose.
Yeah.
I'm just like Hitler. He said in 2022 during a live stream.
Denied the Holocaust and called for a holy war against Jews.
He's been accused by himself of these things.
But who hasn't, Sharon?
But who hasn't? Whatever. This is good for us.
So Nick Fuentes is a firebrand. He's a young, I think he's 25 years old. He's been accused of a lot of things. He's been accused of being anti-Semitic. Who hasn't? He's been accused of being racist. Also, a lot of people in that boat. a little more evidence to back it up on his side, though. But he really has a hard time. He doesn't like race mixing, but none of that has anything to do with this. He's now coming after Charlie.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Who hasn't been accused of, he doesn't like race mixing, whatever. I just throw that away.
This is me talking to my high school girlfriend when she's going to meet my grandfather.
But you're like not like dismissing it. Like, oh,
no.
I don't want you to get the idea that he's racist. He just doesn't like the race mixing.
Yeah, don't get distracted by the white hood.
Right. Where do you have his chicken, though?
But haven't we all been accused? He is mad because he's too much of a drunk, lazy idiot to have gotten on board with what, like, actually Anna is doing now, right? Where it's basically, like, anti-Zionist or anti-Israel rhetoric, but it's always, like, about them infiltrating the U.S. It's not an anti-colonial or an anti-capitalist perspective or, like, anti-imperialism even more broadly, maybe to a degree, but it focuses on it being, like, a secret cabal of Jews that are controlling our foreign policy or AIPAC being a foreign lobby. It's always a secondary thing and acting like Israel is leading the United States as opposed to a creation of like Western imperialism and our foreign policy. And he missed the boat on getting in bed with the Tuckers and the Candace Owenses. So now he's got to go to Nick Fuentes, who's to the right of those guys on that. He thinks that Steve Bannon is a faker. Because Bannon thinks that there should be black people in Trump's coalition. But, like, I mean, like, tomato, some differences. We're all on the same side here, I guess.
And I like wonder that, like, sort of creepy laugh that his wife is doing when, like, we've all been accused of being racist.
Right.
Oh, right. That was when we were out there protesting against the black people moving in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
Is that the end of it?
In that boat.
Oh.
A little more evidence to back it up on his side, though. But he really has a hard time. He doesn't like race mixing, but none of that has any...
He has a hard time with race mixing.
He doesn't like race mixing, but there's nothing to do with any of this.
That's funny that he even felt compelled to divulge that.
So the thumbnail that is showing up here of Nick Fuentes, the Twitter name there is Frederick Zoller, who's one of the Nazis in Inglourious Basterds.
Oh my God.
It's just right there on the screen.
Who hasn't named himself after a Nazi in Inglourious Basterds?
Whatever. All right. So that's not the point, though.
Do with this. He's now coming after Charlie Kirk. You know, Charlie Kirk, Turning Point USA. He's a major influencer on the right, right? He could get an audience with the president and stuff like that.
So you know who else had an audience with the president? Nick Fuentes.
Yep, and Kanye. Kanye, they went down to dinner there, and Kanye was saying, "I love Hitler," and over again on the, what was it, the Alex Jones live stream that Fuentes brought him to?
Who doesn't? Who doesn't? Like, also, I mean, okay, who hasn't been there?
I mean, I just did, quoting Fuentes.
Grandpa saying, like, he's now going after Charlie Kirk. This is one of his main projects, is trying to get the right-wingers from Charlie Kirk.
Right, and there are some really thirsty morons who are giving this attention where, I guess Fuentes is exploding in popularity on the right. That's a pretty big problem. But perhaps we shouldn't launder his reputation just because he's critical of Israel, you idiots. It actually hurts the movement.
Jimmy is trying to gain views off of that. He knows that he has...
This is a rumble play.
Yeah, exactly. This is for the teenage Nazi audience. Jimmy wants that easy money.
Well, he is very hip, so...
Grandpa.
Audience with the president and stuff like that. So he's coming at him right now. Let's listen to Nick Fuentes. He goes right at Charlie Kirk.
Okay, we don't need to do that.
Wow. That's
right.
I mean, his whole thing on his Southern Poverty Law Center breakdown talks about how he's to the right of the Republican Party. Like, this isn't a new development. And he's criticizing Charlie Kirk, who's very mainstream in the Republican Party.
He's to the right now. He's populist against him.
He's
against the establishment. The narrow, one establishment.
Like the establishment that people can cross races.
Exactly. He's against the establishment.
He's got a hard time.
He's against the establishment clause and also the 14th Amendment.
written by fucking corporate sellouts.
He's got it.
Who wrote the Constitution? The man.
He's against the establishment of the 13th Amendment, too. So.
He's got a tough time with Jim Crow not being around anymore.
Exactly. He's really taking on this whole, post-Civil War thing. He's really taking on the new regime.
He's just anti-war against Lincoln.
Right.
We are 1 minute away from proof of life update. Just let's monitor that stuff.
Let's see if it gets pushed back.
I really hope his physical appearance has been indelibly altered. What?
Can we see if there's anything live happening?
Would it be funnier if his brain is falling apart or his body first? I think body, because then he could still feel torture internally.
Yeah, he has to be aware.
The chances of this starting at 2 p.m., I would say, is like very, very minimal. This guy is all right. Spent my Labor Day becoming an official member of DSA. Left his best. Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
John from the Berg says to Trump, clots and prayers.
Oh, very good. Very good.
That's excellent. Felonious Monk, Trump will handpick Dana White as his successor. In answer, Mark Cuban throws his golden hat in the ring. The last two Republican presidents, Bush and Trump, have owned professional sports teams. The new Vox Populi demands circuses, while the poor Dems can only beg for bread. Jamie from the UK. Hi, Sam, Emma, Matt, Brian. Good progressive news from the UK here. Zach Polonsky, who is a progressive eco-populist, also queer and Jewish, likely secular too, has been elected leader of the Green Party. I voted for him as a member, and he really made me feel hopeful again. He cites Zohran as inspiration, sending solidarity from across the pond, left his best. Excellent. Ezard, thanks for taking care of the Dobson situation, Agent Cedar. Majority Report wardrobe coordinator, Sam's so decrepit, he can't even chew steak properly. Sam, keep saying, are you going to Cumbie's? It's very funny, and I think Matt and Brian are thinking the same thing I am. I wasn't, but... Wait, what is that?
No.
All right. I need an update on everything I've said
today.
We'll
give you one sheet.
Wait, but I know things. Not really.
That should be a sound drop, too.
Callie and Mac, did you watch the PBD Jubilee video? I didn't. I basically really tried to stay away. People texted me stuff, not just Emma, but people texted me stuff. And so I answered texts, but I did not like engage with really much of the news at all. That
I found out that socialism is when tax rates are over 10%. So.
NASA county spokesperson, let's get Lena Khan for Nadler seat. Oh, that actually is.
Yes, I saw
idea.
People suggesting that, but I can't tell if it's just, you know, wish casting. DSA refused to rule out a primary challenge against Hakeem Jeffries over the weekend. Just noting that. Jabari Brisport is, I think, overlaps in that district and could be a really interesting candidate.
That'd be dope.
Throwing it out there.
Tomolo Fink, happy Newsday Tuesday, folks. Francis Thatcherite PM is likely to face a no confidence vote over his attempts to curtail French welfare state while France shores up the defense stock portfolios of Daddy Trump's friends. Also, remember how the Queen died when both Sam and Emma were out?
We were both out for that.
I think they can both be out.
She's a tough broad. You gotta need two people to take her down.
It's one of those classic things where I got on all fours and Emma just pushed her.
Right. Teamwork.
Ramona Frankenstein, New Englanders know there's nothing weird about Cumbies. Y'all are just perverts.
It's people are laughing at the first letters of the Cumbies.
Okay.
I don't know what you kids are talking about. Biscateful.
I was born in the 80s.
Biscateful. Exactly my point. Where's that? Is that true?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
I meant it as I'm old.
Am I the only one?
I know. Wait, I know.
You were born in 90?
I was 89. 89. Or 88, sorry.
I'm the only 90s baby.
Of course you're 88.
Yeah.
Only 1990s baby. Biscatule, did you see the Tim Pool complaint about you guys?
No, but that's funny.
No,
I saw Tim Pool covering.
Did he file a complaint?
I don't know, but he covered other creators taking dark money, which I thought was a little bit rich.
Is that true?
Yeah, it was his first show, but.
Well, I pay attention to which shows cover that and which shows don't. Just think that's important. The Taylor Lorenz Wired article.
Yeah, I read I read the article. I did not read it too carefully. My first reaction is just like, how do you take any money? I don't care who you are, without that, particularly that kind of money. I can understand why someone who gives you money tries to impose terms on you. That's why I have a very tough time signing any contracts, regardless of who it's with. But you got to disclose it. Yeah. I also think the whole project is stupid. I do think that there needs to be support for left of center influencers. I just think that there's a much better way to do it. But you have to disclose this stuff.
Yep.
Like, you know, I will say, it's probably a good opportunity to say this, that like one of the stipulations of our Hello Tushy sponsorship is I can never say anything good about toilet paper.
Oh, never?
Never. Never. And it can only use a wipe as a noun, mm-hmm. never a verb.
You have to get clearance if you use a bathroom that doesn't have a Hello Tushy in it.
That's right. Correct.
And the defense has been, and you know, I was debating this a little over the weekend because I have no life.
I also have to report to them every time I poop.
Oh, well, that's going to be many emails. Joking. over the weekend. I'm building off. Where's Saul when you need him? Like the contracts do. There was like a TikTok that one of the smaller creators put out, like refuting it, just basically saying, "I've said this. That's critical. I've said X." But showed the contract that confirmed Taylor's reporting at the end of it, just basically showing that maybe it wasn't enforced for some of these smaller creators because you got up to $8,000 a month, which I'd imagine was more for bigger creators that have a larger following, like Pac-Man or the Two Raw guy or Juliana or whatever. Just because the contract terms weren't explicitly enforced doesn't really, I think, change much about
story. The problem is that, like, those terms are generally only enforced when you step out of line.
Right.
And I would never sign a contract like that.
Yeah.
But I can understand if you're starting out and you need support, and that would be a tough decision to make. But you must disclose the nature of that type of sponsorship.
But the contract said you couldn't, which is pretty important, right?
Well, like, that's why I would never sign. Yes, as something like
and
that.
And the other part that is also like there is the website Chorus that shows some of these creators listed, right? That has been the other refutation. But the problem is that one, that's not a disclosure of the financial relationship explicitly. Two, the Chorus group is kind of the middleman between the 1630 dark money fund, and that's the vehicle through which they were paying people. So it also doesn't get to the dark money piece, which is a major problem. And like I'm seeing people calling it dishonest, but there's not really much behind the critiques of saying it's dishonest. Then you'll hear people going after Taylor Lorenz personally. Now, Taylor is I don't agree with everything she's ever said, but Taylor is a good leftist that does care about this kind of thing and critiques media in that way. And I just don't like some of the undertones of it because
it's Trump-like dismissal of the
dismissal
media.
And also Taylor can put herself out there and maybe piss some people off in ways that are just like, it's totally exploded because she's a woman. Like, male writers get to be neurotic and like idiosyncratic and even difficult to work with. Not saying that's her, but you can go that far and people still think you're a really serious person. But like, God forbid Taylor gets into spats with people on the internet and then they try to dismiss her whole reporting. I find it to be misogynistic, but
yeah, I have not seen the backlash. Like I say, I haven't paid it. But has anybody refuted the fundamental aspects of the
no.
story? And look,
no,
I think
no correction issues.
I do not think it is nefarious for Democratic backers to fund influencers. I do think it is wrong for influencers not to fully disclose. I also think that the way they're going about this is classic Democratic sort of like consultant style money grab. There's so much better ways than to be giving out. I don't know if it's 8,000 per person or whatever it is, and how many . If there's 90 people getting $8,000 a month, you're talking about over $1 million a year.
That's the max.
Whatever it is. This space desperately needs infrastructure. If I was just starting out, what I would need, yes, of course, we need some cash. But the way you can really help these shows is to recreate things that existed back when Think Progress would put out radio clips or audio clips when we were on radio, or Media Matters would clip, or you could have booking so that people could outsource booking. Or, I think it's perfectly legit to have informational sessions to teach you about legislation. You got to disclose that you're doing this on some level, because if you have a financial relationship with the people who are educating you Your audience deserves to know that, like, they have a front row seat in the way that they're educating you. I mean, it's like lobbying.
Yeah, and let's be real. This isn't just, if this had been a way, like a Media Matters thing, which has been, Elon Musk has really made Media Matters, like, crippled it by suing it. And it's a real shame. We should have more of an apparatus to get out, like, op on Republicans and not just, like, Rupar or Austin on Twitter, who, you know, I don't doubt are getting subsidized, too. I don't have any proof of this. But I wonder how you're able to just be a clipper for the Democratic Party and not be getting paid by them. And these are the same people that were jumping over the top with the defense, calling it of these people calling it dishonest without providing any proof. Wired has been one of the best publications, if not the best publication, in 2025, covering Donald Trump, covering Doge, covering Epstein. They're the ones that broke that story that the video of his cell was, they edited it out and left metadata in there. That's like one of the biggest stories of the year, in my view. And they have, you're reporting on that about Trump. You're reporting like that about Trump and Elon, who has the biggest pockets in the world. You better have lawyers on staff. You better have a lot of editors that are looking over your reporting over and over again and making sure it passes legal standards. You want to besmirch Taylor Lorenz? I think it's pretty gross the way some people are going about it. But if they're going after her personally, fine. Then you're also, what about her editors?
They're misrepresenting the update as a correction,
right, but,
which is just that one of the people that didn't respond in time for publication has got back to us.
Right. Well, there's no correction that changes the contours of the story
exactly.
at all.
There's
it's
no
an
correction.
Update of the statement from Chorus, which people don't understand the difference between a correction and an update. There have been no corrections issued. They went through lawyers, they went through editors, and they determined that this reporting was very sound. And that people can cry about it, but you're going to need more than fake news as the excuse
yeah.
here.
I don't understand like what the critique is of the reporting. I mean, I can see people saying like...
Ad hominems.
We need... I can see people saying like, you know, we need support for center-left creators. I mean, that's all well and good. It's really a question, though, like how you do it. And you don't basically poison the well because, I mean.
The language is being used as it was fully debunked.
Right.
The reporting.
What? I don't understand what part was debunked. Are people saying that they don't have contracts?
It says it like Trump would say it. It's just fully debunked. There's no specificity about that claim anywhere.
And I would imagine, and I would also like just largely because, you know, we don't have an articulated policy here as to how we would ever disclose this if we ever took money like that, because we get our funding from memberships and ad revenue on YouTube and Twitch, which is like the subscriber thing, and the ads that we read. And that's it. And all of that is self-disclosed. I mean, we ask for members. Presumably we get some. I read the ads. It's quite clear they pay for the ads. You know, we get market rate, probably a little below market rate. I don't know what the general market rate is for ads. But... and there's virtually no difference in the amount that, you know, from ad to ad, what we get. I mean, I imagine like there are some that bought a bunch of ads like a year ago and the rates in terms of like downloads and whatnot, but it's all like CPMs and stuff like that. And then we have members and I can't say this definitively because I don't look at the numbers, but I don't think that we have members that are giving us, you know, five figures a month. I don't think, you know, we have people who
they were not signing a contract with them.
No.
We did have one person at the beginning of the show. Right.
Back in the day, I had one guy who was a Sam Cedar member, which is $1,000 a month, and you technically had the right to come and host the show while I live in Mexico. And he never asked to do that. And I think his first name was Eric. And I just remember that because I was like, oh, this guy, Eric.
Looms large.
And he was very important to being able to maintain the show when we first
Golden
launched.
Golden Railroad Spike.
Yeah. And I think, like, look, the chorus people could have gone into the memberships and just like, we're doing a $5,000 a month membership.
They could have.
And you know what? And that's fine.
The creators could have said, this is what we've been waiting for a long time. We're now going to expand the show, hire all these different producers with this. Instead, it was in the contract that they can't say that because of what? What was their excuse? Is that some trans creators in red states can't, it would put them in jeopardy?
That's the excuse.
That's a bastardization.
But I just don't even understand what the logic of that is.
Sam,
they're making it up.
They were subsidizing this. They were subsidizing creators that were not going to be critical of the Democrats in ways that, like, would be really explicit about the genocide. To, I think, about the gerontocracy in the party, and trying to elevate those voices to compete with voices that were more critical of the Democrats. And that's exactly what it was. And you're not supposed to be able to disclose it. And I think this hurts the party. And I wonder how many more of these kinds of arrangements there are. I don't know. I don't have any. I don't want to say. By the way, someone wrote in. He writes for Midas Touch. That's more Rupar critique. I make sure that just like Austin does better work on there. But like
that's important work. The surveillance stuff.
It's like, good stuff.
They should be paid for it, but they have that disclosed.
Right. But what we're also having an issue with here is it's the overall problem with the party and the apparatus within it, trying to tamp down the grassroots energy that is around trying to end the genocide in Gaza on the Democratic Party side, and also a more working class politics. And this is a subsidization of maybe creators that are going to be more favorable to the Democrats. And some will have criticisms of the Democrats, but some will be that guy that's, you know, calling Bernie, what was his name? Too real to function or whatever.
Too raw, too real. Oh. Like, I mean, yeah.
Bullprog says, "Go, please go look at those smaller creators' recent output." Like, I think it is perfectly legitimate for people with money to, again, say we want to do this or that. I could critique it, but it's just a question of the creators have to divulge that they're taking that money.
Yeah.
And I don't know how, you know, like, do you need to do that every show or do you need to put it on your website or whatnot? Like, I don't know. I've never had to deal with that. And so I don't, you know, I wouldn't have a policy for that.
When Dave Rubin announced the Learn Liberty partnership, that was right when he went independent. And he's like, well, we've had a lot of people reach out to partner with us. And he felt compelled to disclose that.
Yes. Well, because they were putting all these guests, all these like libertarian guests on there.
Exactly.
But then we could actually, you know, legitimately critique.
Yep.
And that's the point. And people can decide and people can make an assessment, you know, where it's coming from. I mean, I think, you know, that's that's the point. And then it's also sort of like people should understand that what appears to be sort of like, and I don't know, I'm sure there are some who are more sensitive to what the money is dictating for them to do. And there are others who don't, but audiences can't make that assessment without knowing that stuff.
Exactly. And the last thing I'll say on this is the subsidization of some of these younger creators too, who really don't have too much of an organic following online, was explicitly designed to alleviate fears, I would say, from donors who were afraid that the Democrats were losing young people's support by elevating folks who were in the party constituency who weren't, you know, criticizing the party at that very time. And that wasn't about bringing young people in to vote for the Democrats in the fall. It was really just about appealing to big money donors to say, look, there are young people who believe this kind of thing, who are all in on Biden era liberalism, see? And that is a use of resources that is not, there's no equivalent on the right. It's about trying to undercut grassroots energy and change the contours of it as opposed to harnessing it.
I still feel like the best way to go and support these people is to create institutions that allow them to offload different types of work and outsource it to these institutions that could function. I mean, let's put it this way. there is a much more effective way to do this. However, that effective way involves work and less money for that work. So much of this sounds like my job is send out checks and I get 10% vig on that. Like, that's a good job. But there's a much better way to have done this that also wouldn't undermine the credibility of these people that they're supposedly helping. Like, how long did someone think that this was going to go unknown? Like, honestly, like it's just, and I would also say to, you know, I think it's a good lesson for younger, newer creators that all you ultimately have is the trust of your audience at the end of the day. And that involves, you know, your professional integrity.
Right.
And don't sign away that stuff.
Yeah.
It's not worth it. Oh, do we have Trump?
Well, no, but he did call in. We have that. That's what I just sent.
Oh, okay. Let's listen to.
We're 20 minutes
late. We are now 22 minutes late for Donald Trump's big reveal.
Proof of life.
Proof of life, or proof of barely life, as it were. But here he is. Did he call into Fox and Friends this morning?
Well, this is Scott Jennings' show. I just sent
Scott
it.
Scott Jennings on.
It's right above my message. It was an image accidentally was copy-pasted. It's right at the link above. I guess he called into Scott Jennings' show.
Wait,
and
Scott Jennings has a show?
Yeah, now. That's how he's parlaying his...
He's so photogenic.
His CNN conservative credentials.
What did they do? Shrink him and get a job or get a giant microphone? There he is.
We haven't heard this yet, but apparently Trump sounds pretty bad.
I'm very disappointed in him. He and I always had a great relationship. I'm very disappointed. Thousands of people are dying. They're not Americans that are dying, but they're Russians and they're Ukrainians, and there's thousands, and it's a war that makes no sense. And it would have never started if I were president, and that's what bothers me even more, because the election was totally rigged, and it's a shame. We'll see what happens, but I'm very disappointed in President Putin. I can say that. And we'll be doing something to help people live. You know, it's not a question of Ukraine. It's help people live. 7,000 people are dying every single week, soldiers mostly. But 7,000 people. And if I can help to stop that, I think I have an obligation to do it.
Oof. I wonder COVID? If he got really bad COVID. That's
no,
what it sounds like to
no,
me. That's what it
no,
sounds
like. No. There's no chance he would stop working from COVID. There's no chance.
Well, if he's taken
he
out.
To. If he's he, they have everything. They have the.
It don't matter.
The monochrome.
It can mess you up. What are you talking about?
Sometimes COVID can really yeah. floor you. It doesn't matter.
Okay, fair
whatever.
Enough. But he was fucking slack-jawed in that photo. I mean, he looks like he's had a stroke.
I think that's COVID.
It could be. You both could be right.
The first thing I sound. The first thing I thought was COVID.
Yeah.
He's got that like
me too.
Like it right in his chest.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to be the lone voice and say COVID.
I think he had COVID and strokes.
Okay.
Can I do that?
All right.
All the above.
Cover your bases.
Croaks.
All the above.
He might have. But
that definitely sounds like COVID to me, because if it was like stroke stuff, he would be. His voice actually sounded less slurry normally.
Yeah.
I know you're sad.
I no, I'm just questioning my, you know, perceptive abilities, but I don't think I am. I think like that when his hand was so limp, did you see him getting guided into that car? I'm becoming blue and on maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
But
it's like when
you
got
to be careful about trying to diagnose people from a distance.
I'm not trying to diagnose people from a distance, but I'm just trying to say like, what was the bruise on his hand a week away? A week? He, and then, okay, this is the timeline, all right, for my Blue and On friends, and you can play that again. Tuesday of last week, he had that two-hour cabinet meeting. Wednesday, J.D. Vance goes on USA Today or some local TV, I think, saying that he's ready to serve if needed to be. You think that'd be from COVID? You think that'd be from COVID? J.D. Vance going, I'm ready to serve if necessary. I don't think so.
I mean,
they don't take it seriously.
This is how you have to think when you're a Knicks fan.
Yes.
You would just pray.
I mean, he could be sick, but that to me sounds like COVID.
All right.
That really
sounds. And the hand thing has been going on for a while now. Like, they had the first pictures of him sort of putting makeup on his hand like a month or so ago.
Can we put up the photo we got of him over the weekend in the hat? All right, sure. People can decide. People can decide. Look, I witnessed.
Do we have a Poly Market
bet on
what's
this?
The Poly Market line? Mark Monkey says later stages of CHF can affect the lungs. FYI, what is CHF?
Chronic venous congested heart failure. But he's been diagnosed with chronic venous insufficiency, which isn't enough to. But they announced that, which I find it interesting that they felt they had to announce it.
Spectre Uno says, what really happened is Trump had one of RFK's famous smoothies with mango, beef tallow, raw bear liver, and colloidal silver.
It's
been wonders for me. It does a number on your voice. You may sense a little scratchiness in your voice.
I mean,
don't worry about it.
Am I going insane? This looks like my grandpa after he had a stroke.
I think this is mostly him without makeup on.
I think he also, if he had COVID and felt like crap, I don't know.
It's been a week since he's been on camera or called anywhere.
Don't worry.
To help people live. You know, it's not a question of Ukraine.
Max Granular, Trump has a lot of his battery life still left.
I don't know about that.
Sam?
What?
No, it said Sam has the battery. You have battery life?
No, Trump.
Oh.
Look who's not listening now. Dark Soul.
Jesus, holding on to that one.
I know, that one was right on the tip of his tongue.
I'm sorry if that made you feel old.
It's true. I'm a little sensitive to it. You know, what's happening is you start to see people like fading, you know, Biden. Like, I was always like, well, at least Biden's still hopping around.
In your defense, I don't think it's your age. I think it's your undiagnosed ADHD.
That's very possible. It is very possible. It's been suggested to me many times. Dark Soul. I think Trump is dead, and they're just pumping him with electrodes and salt to get him to talk. Vladdy Putin, I'm telling you, nothing happened in that limo ride. Hogtown. Damage is done on tariffs and the rhetoric. No one will trust the U.S. again, even if the next guy rescinds everything. If you're the international community, you can't rely on the U.S. to be a rational actor going forward. Canadian property owners in the U.S. who spend a lot of money in the winter months are decamping and heading to Mexico or other countries. They're not coming back either. One effect may be manageable, but it's a bit of a death by a thousand cuts. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind that what you're saying is true. I mean, this was a problem even after the first Trump years, because if I'm any other country, I'm looking at the United States going like, you go from Obama to Trump to Biden, like what's to say you wouldn't go to, I think at the time I would say, you know, obviously you're not going to go back to Trump, but something just like Trump. But right. The fact that we did, it's just like, I'm sorry, we're cooked in many respects. And what is really important about this moment from a political standpoint is who the Democratic Party is if it retakes power in 2028, if it wins in 2026, and make no mistake, I'm not, you know, we're not going to get the Democratic Party we want. But how much to the left it can be pulled over the course of the next 3 years? How much we defend against the Rahm Emanuels, the Shapiros, the ilk that would return us to the status quo, will make a big difference as to whether in 10, 12 years from 2028, we can regain the trust of A, of the international community, but B, also where the American public is in some way taken care of. Because they'll go back. Rahm Emanuel will go back. There was a piece, I will read this tomorrow, but there was a piece that he wrote, this op-ed, where he's talking about in 2008, the banks screwed over people. And that mofo was in the administration that made the definitive decision to pay off the banks and hope that the banks would make people whole. They have the opportunity to go directly to homeowners, pay off principals, which would have made the banks whole secondarily. And they didn't do it. And they didn't do it because their entire administration was essentially chosen by a Robert Rubin acolyte from Citigroup, John Froman, who was also, his last vestige was pushing the TPP as the top trade negotiator, which was one of the but-fors that brought Donald Trump into office. I mean, so I don't think Rahm Emanuel has a shot. But
I was laughing at preemptively at the idea of him running for president in 2028.
Well, but if it's not Rahm Emanuel, it's going to be
Newsom.
Someone else who's going to take his mantle.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you will play this tomorrow too, but like Newsom saying that Donald Trump is the real socialist. Like, truly go fuck yourself. Truly go fuck yourself. You are trying to, like, just auditioning for every rich guy that's like pissed and moaned about Mamdani. Just be like, open season, come to me. I'm your candidate 2 years out, 3 years out. We know what you're doing. And Newsom is not to be trusted. We give him a little bit of a cookie for the partisanship, but that's it. Move on.
Anyone who thinks they can trust Gavin Newsom, I would like to hear them talk about
it. Well, I mean, there's a reason people say he looks like a used car salesman is because there are some people who will buy those cars from a guy like that. Yeah.
All right. Let's do we have no Trump. He hasn't shown up.
Nope. He's still waiting on it. We are only 34 minutes late, though. So.
All right. Fine. Maybe I'll hop on live if the.
I think it's in the art of the deal to be 45 minutes late to everything.
Yeah, exactly.
I just hope it's on camera when it happens.
Oh.
I don't want to think about it because it'll get me too excited.
Wait, what's this? This is Zoran. Oh, you want to play this?
If we just want something else, we could go to play
tomorrow. It's pretty good.
All right, let's play this. This is Zoran Mamdani, who you may know is running for a mayor mm-hmm. in this city. It really feels like Cuomo is not where he wants to be going into September, right? Like, this was the time between the primary and September is where you as Cuomo, your challenge is to get the sort of Democratic establishment and infrastructure on your side so that you got to take care of the wholesale stuff.
Right.
And then come mid-September, you start going retail with all that so-called wholesale backing. And I would say the only thing Cuomo has been able to achieve in the past 2 months is to line the pockets of one or two social media firms.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing well, and that's good.
And also the like Hiltons or Marriotts that he's renting out empty banquet halls in to do his campaign events where no one's showing up, where he does like PowerPoint presentations. They're probably doing okay.
I mean, the fact that he can't get people to show up there means that his transactional politics, where he threatens some union or nobody thinks he can do it.
And, exactly.
And so these 2 months are where he lost it. He may have lost it in the actual primary itself. But to the extent that there was any chance of him coming back, it was in these 2 months, I think. But here is Zohran Mamdani on the I've Had It podcast. They're pretty excited to have him on.
This is sweet. They just had Hassan on too.
This show ostensibly is for more mainstream Democrats. But they have done a very good job.
But this is where mainstream Democrats are. I just want to say, like 8% of Democrats support Israel's military action in Gaza. Over 75% of Democrats last week on Quinnipiac say Israel's committing genocide, let alone the numbers on Chuck Schumer's approval rating and Hakeem Jeffries within the party, let alone what they want more from their politicians, which is fight, fight, fight. These women are doing a great job of representing where the actual base is.
Andrew Cuomo has capitulated to Donald Trump, and the moral rot has just absolutely followed.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think it just shows that he doesn't believe in anything other than his own power. He believes that's his God-given right to forever be leading the city or the state. It's quite jarring for many who spent months hearing from someone about how they would be the best person to take on Donald Trump and now have that same guy be the one who's on the phone with Donald Trump talking about how to stop our campaign.
Think about how failed as a politician you would have to be to call a man who clearly, in my opinion, I'm not a doctor, has full-blown dementia, who tried to give a microphone a blowjob on the campaign trail. He has to have a three-hour meeting where everybody tells him he's so great because he's that insecure. So how much has Andrew Cuomo fallen that right now, currently, he thinks the best thing for New Yorkers to do is to call a demented man with muffin top cankles, bruises all over his hands, and an army of sycophants around him. It makes me question Andrew Cuomo's judgment, because I wouldn't call Donald Trump if he were the last person on the planet for advice.
And calling him not just for advice, but for help.
Right. Right?
Because Andrew Cuomo's path in his mind is that Donald Trump intervenes in this race and makes what is a four-person race into a two-person race by getting Eric Adams and Curtis Sliwa out of it such that it's a one-on-one with Andrew Cuomo. It's difficult for Andrew Cuomo to understand, but he would also lose that race as well.
So first of all, she just has so many great calling them muffin top cankles is just like another step up, because do you know what a cankle is? You're a calf connoisseur, and you do not have cankles, so congrats to you.
Where your calves and your ankles are not, there's no delineation.
Yeah, but it's a different level. He's more on the muffin top, where it's like worse than if your calf was just extended down. There's no ankle because it's widening and spilling over his shoe. That's worse. Also, just the how good Zohran is at politics. He's so subtle, and like they're eating it up because he's right, but he's getting the message he needs to get across, which is tying Trump to Cuomo and saying they're the same, where he says he feels he has this God-given, you hear that, right to lead the city. And then he mentions Trump in the next breath. This is just a good lesson for people who are messaging and want to run. That is how you appeal to an audience now when you're
the general
election. And it's unique for New York because New Yorkers all hate Trump, even if you're not like a card carrying Democrat or DSA member for the most part. But you're trying to basically act like you're running against a Republican as the Democrat. And it really harms the ability for people to say that the guy with the I next to his name is the true Democrat in the race. And there are a lot of Democratic primary voters, like it or not, who do think that like party identification is important to them. And you're making yourself into the representative of their interests versus Donald Trump and the Republicans and the authoritarianism versus Cuomo, who early on in the campaign was trying to do that same thing for the voters. It just didn't work. Saying, I took him on with COVID and X, Y, and Z. Now, Zoran's the one taking on Trump, and Cuomo is the collaborator. And it's just very, he's very good at all of the nerdy messaging politics stuff, too, in addition to being right on policy.
And they, I have to say, the hosts seem to be, they didn't seem to need too much convincing.
No, loving it.
Oh, no, they're based entirely. I mean, I could play more where they're talking about how awful it is that Cuomo went to help Netanyahu with legal representation and... well, he's targeting journalists. So.
I mean, I feel like Mamdani could have just spent that whole interview going like, yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Say more.
you're right. Yes.
Keep saying it in ways I can't.
Yeah.
Exactly. Where he looks like he seems a little bit moderate.
Right. Versus Jennifer's Kankel, muffin top Kankel comment.
I didn't say blow. No,
yeah.
Bingo Dango. Poole is mad when people search his name. Your videos about him come up before his actual videos.
Oh, yes.
That's fantastic.
Can we find that?
Oh, yes.
I'll have to say.
We will double our efforts on doing that. They should absolutely be the case. Whoopsie. Very sorry about that.
That Soros money is really working.
Totally.
I know. Pumping it to the top of the algorithm.
I mean,
you weren't supposed to disclose that.
George was like, do you guys need an updated audio de-enhancer processor for
Soros enhanced optimization?
No,
SEO.
No, first one's working just fine.
Yeah, he was. He wanted to know if we wanted the extra thing to harm Tim Pool's music, or if that's
whoopsie.
Funny. I wonder if Tim is like. Having trouble, with his finance. He spent a lot of money on that, on having to buy himself a skateboard park. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You don't want to lose a revenue friends. Stream.
No, and the personalized poker table. No more Gregorian money. And also, isn't he facing some litigation?
Oh.
That can really drain your bank account.
She was offered a tour, sushi, and poker with the boys.
Yep.
Believe
there's an offer.
Yeah, for the
real
pedophile.
Godfather
for
offer
the pedophile. For the pedophile. Yeah. I still don't know which one's funnier.
Matt from New Hampshire, new candidate for the Senate seat in New Hampshire. Karishma Manzoor is challenging Chris Pappas. He has promised to take no PAC money. I've asked her to contact y'all for an interview. Yeah, we got to start. I think getting into those type of interviews. Live Luigi, backdoor Barry Moore. Let's help let him slink out of Congress the same way. All right, five more. Mega MCA, it should be politics propagating partnerships to protect the people.
Hmm. Do we still have no Trump?
Obs.
Still no Trump.
Wow.
Update from the Discord. Yesterday for Labor Day, we had a screening and discussion of the 1954 film Salt of the Earth about immigrant zinc miners in New Mexico striking for safer conditions and equal treatment. The writer was blacklisted for it. All of us were stunned at just how little has changed in 70 years. Strongly recommend people check it out. That sounds good. Also, Sam, I finally watched Who's the Caboose, and it was great. Why didn't anyone tell me you were funny? Okay. Oh, I'm glad. Where did you see that? Like on what are they? Apple TV, iTunes.
Yes, Apple TV now.
It's on iTunes.
Honestly, the promo that I recorded for that says it is now on DVD or what they call iTunes.
What they call?
Well, that was part of the joke because I was in character, but. It is like literally saying, like, my understanding is that you can now go to a theater and it will be screened for you. Sergeant Flux, DOD being returned to its former title, a Department of War, is yet another casualty of conservatives' detransitioning crusade. Two more.
I like it's more honest. And Trump, maybe Andrew Schultz might want to rethink Trump being the anti-war guy that's going to solve all these wars.
Genuinely, I want to know how it's going to affect the whole discussion over how much we sink into the Pentagon every year once that's called the Department of War.
Exactly. I think it's, I actually am in favor. Jack Raham, why is Trump now 17 minutes late to his special announcement? Well, it's actually now 46 minutes late. He was always going to do that. I don't know if it's going to be this long, but.
He and I have to definitely debate. That's what I love.
We've got to wait. The Adderall.
Brian's never heard that one. That's when.
That was him talking about Kamala after she had joined the race.
No,
right?
It was Biden.
Biden.
Kamala joined the race, but Trump still wanted to debate Biden.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wouldn't you?
He and I have to definitely debate. That's what I love.
That one just like creeps up my spine.
It's so horny sounding.
Yeah. We've got to wait until the Adderall kicks in. Yeah. How long does this take? That's why I snort it. It's always better for the snorting. Gets it very quick.
That's the tone of voice when he's touching his daughter inappropriately.
Yeah, no, that is the changing room voice.
We're definitely going to have to get you into a modeling agency.
What's under that skirt?
Yes. This is my friend.
Do you know Jeffrey?
This is disgusting.
Oh, God. He stole my masseuse. He stole my masseuse.
There's like so much I would love to know about being a 21-year-old girl.
We didn't play.
We gotta go. It's 2:47.
All right, yes.
You guys have gotten really bad in my absence.
Yep.
We're all playing it up like Sam's keeping us here.
No, we're just we're enjoying your presence again.
My God, this is the way they talk to Trump on his deathbed.
In terms of my neurological capacity,
you guys walk to fall. You guys keep me saying, love the show, keep it up. Max left is best, but J.D. Vance would be president. Yikes.
Much better. Much better. No charisma. No one cares. Lazy as shit. Empty suit. Don't care.
Although I don't want him to get enough time to get wind in his sails. So if Trump dies, I think I hope he holds out for a little bit longer.
He doesn't have no sails. Yeah. I don't know why I did a double negative there, but yeah, he doesn't have any sales.
All he has to do is like back off the insane economy crushing stuff that Trump's doing, and all of a sudden you get a recovery. J.D. Vance looks great.
Fair enough.
Folks, we'll see you. Oh, Matt, Brian, Emma, good job today. Wait, is he on?
No.
See you tomorrow.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. The finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in. And my pilot light's shining bright. I get somewhere the choice is made, for the option where you don't get paid, for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I get somehow I lost my drive.